Black Time on the Don and Mike Show.
You should be upset about the weather forecasters here in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Just once, I want one of these genitalless wonders to come on television with their smooth crotches. And I want them to pull down their pants and show that they're eunuchs. And I want them to say, hi, I get paid $1 million a year to forecast the weather. Guess what? I effed up. Be a man about it.
Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
You're the son of a bitch.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
That's right.
Do what you do call.
That's right.
Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
Oh, weird stuff.
And don't call telling jokes.
That's right. And Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Coach of the number one ranked Oklahoma Sooners.
Right.
You may know him as Coach. I know him simply as Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak!
What do you say, fans?
What do you say, fans?
You know, Phil called me this morning.
Really?
He said he had a question. It was burning on his mind. He had to ask me. He said, Rob, he said, dude, where's my car? Good afternoon. I screwed it up. I'm sorry. I'm so sleepy. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Klemperer and all the ships at sea. Hey, I want to tell you, get ready to get some wild boners because here comes Don and Mike.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin.
Yeah.
And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody, coast to coast and nationwide. As the stock price continues to fall,
God,
our ratings continue to rise.
Fantastic. Well, that's a good thing.
Even though we're still brought to you via the auspices of Westwood One, we continue to prosper. Don and Mike Show, national show. Hey, don't laugh, really. Westwood One is still a company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. And they bring you this show, a very intricate system of wires and cans that they bring it all over America. Our telephone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh, I forgot that part.
Oh, yeah.
877-365-3636. It's a new episode on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
January 3. And what can we say except...
Welcome to my world.
Yes, welcome to our wonderful world. Step inside.
Won't you come on in?
New year, same show.
Yep.
Miracles, I guess.
There are lots of shows out there. They retool. They...
still happens.
They try to jazz it up. Not us.
No.
This is the same show.
Step into my heart.
Step into my heart. Really, the markets are doing that, Buzz?
Leave your cares behind.
My goodness.
Why, what's happening on Wall Street?
Oh, it's way up.
Rather good day.
Doesn't matter. It'll be down tomorrow. And it's built with you in mind, you morons.
Built with
Tells me it's
you and mine. Buzz likes to do that to me. He knows, I follow that, and he likes to get. He got the reaction he wanted because I saw those numbers and I kind of gave him exactly what he wanted, which is one of those
double take.
Once again, there's proof about how easily distracted you are.
Yeah. I am, and you notice, even though they have been nice enough to give me my own mouse and not a keyboard today, I'm not playing with the computer anymore because I am not. But you are easily distracted too because you're already laughing at my glasses.
Well, I have been, and it's not that I'm easily distracted.
Yes.
How can I not?
I know.
How can I not look at those glasses? I have been staring at those glasses for the last 2 hours in the office.
I like those glasses.
Me too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the thing I said, and I really mean it, they're cool. They're like Jim Garner glasses.
Jim Garner.
Yeah, that's cool, Rob.
Jim Garner's coolest guys of all time.
You see, and he said that, and I took it as a compliment.
And I think they look like Ronnie Millsap glasses.
There's a stranger in my house.
Okay. You know, I walk in the door, I see Mike today, and again, he's got on sunglasses inside. Not prescription glasses,
right.
Sunglasses.
Well, they're light, though. You can see my eyes.
Very pale.
They're yellow is what they are.
They're yellow.
And I wear them because my regular glasses are in the car. My car's in the shop. And because I'm easily distracted, I left my glasses in the car that's being serviced.
I came around the corner today. I see him in the glasses. That's first thing I do is start laughing.
I know.
Right away.
Right. I mean, the reaction that I knew I'd get, you know, I could shave my head and you wouldn't even give it a second note. But when I change glasses, you notice that dramatically.
And look,
so.
I want to explain. It's not like he has on glasses like Buzz has on glasses today.
I normally do, though. I normally wear, like, little glasses in here. I occasionally will divert from that and go to this.
You're wearing sunglasses.
These are, you know, I don't call them sunglasses. I could never wear these to protect my eyes from the sun, but they're great to protect from the...
They're tinted, though. They're
yellow.
Only
yes.
Slightly.
They're yellow.
Well,
they're yellow.
You're not seeing them up close.
I gave him the glasses for his birthday because, remember, he started wearing sunglasses during the show.
No wonder you're over there.
Hey, Buzz. You couldn't see his eyes.
These aren't the ones you gave me, though.
But I'm sorry. But they're similar. I'm sorry.
But they're very similar. They're
pale
very,
yellow.
Very, very similar. But they're pale yellow.
Right.
And you know that I like the pale yellow glasses. I actually, what I'm looking for, and this is for anybody that might know where they are, you know the kind that are the regular, the kind that Jack Nicholson wears at the basketball games that have the yellow? That's what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
And until I find them, I'm going to wear these kind of things, But I wear them because the lights bother my eyes.
They are like disco glasses, like the glasses.
They are.
The guys wore in disco because as I look at them now, the tinting actually goes down about halfway down the lens.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get all the way down, now that you've taken them off, you got vertigo now that you've taken the glasses off?
Oh, my hand, Esther. All right. You're right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're darker on the top. And, they're very 70s. Very old man-ish. But I like them, and they're me.
You're right, Rob. They're very James Garner-ish.
But I meant that in a good way.
I know. I know you meant that in a good way. And I appreciate both of your good wishes. Buzz and Rob.
Well, listen, Buzz only gave you good wishes because he thought they were the glasses that you gave him.
Right.
Yes,
and I did that because you wanted to see his eyes while he was wearing sunglasses.
You can see my eyes. That's the issue.
You can see his eyes.
Yeah, I can.
You can see my beautiful eyes.
I can.
Problem solved.
Kind of see your eyes.
I just, lately with the dry weather, my eyes have been really, really bothering me. My eyes fell to the floor. And I just, that's why I'm wearing these. So, and they're staying on today.
Really?
They're staying on. Because otherwise, you know, I take them off and, oh, my God, it's like, you know, I'm getting a corneal damage.
It's woozy.
Okay.
I just want you to know one thing. I'm leaving my glasses on. I'm going to wear them the way I like them. I'm going to wear them high on the nose so I can look down and see the light spot. There you go.
I don't wish this on you, that maybe someday you'll get James Garner hair. Which, incidentally, after going to see that awful movie with my wife, What Women Want,
right.
The one we walked out of, we decided that Mel Gibson has James Garner hair now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Straw-like?
Yeah. You know, it's that look that says he's had something done to it. Frieda and I were discussing that. It looked like maybe Mel Gibson had the paint your bald spot stuff.
Right, right.
But no, then we decided it's whatever procedure James Garner has had done to his hair.
Where they take it off like cadavers or something.
Yeah.
You know, you got the, and it's like, it looks like the roots are bigger than they should be.
Yeah, the hair is bigger and fluffier.
Right.
But it's fluffier in little, like, mushroom-like little clumps on the guy's head.
Well, he wears his hair that way because he's comfortable. That's the way it works.
I do want to spend some time today talking about the movie Castaway. I did spend a lot of time on that yesterday. Also had more thoughts about what women want. I just want to tell you something. We're not going to do on this show, and I've heard every station in town doing this thus far, and all across America, you're going to hear this line of bull crap from your local radio stations where they come on and they'll go, Q107. The People's Station. You asked, and we deliver. You said in the year 2001, you want more commercial-free rock. So we're delivering with commercial-free hours. Now, I want to tell you why the stations are suddenly coming on now with...
Yes, explain this.
Commercial-free hours. Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, because this is the time of year when nobody buys advertising.
Ah.
It's like all the stations shoot their wad from Halloween until Christmas.
Right. Yeah, anybody that follows anything in the markets knows that retail, the biggest month of retail is leading up to Christmas. I mean, really, it's like two-thirds of their year, and it's the same way with their advertising budgets. That's when they have their big push, and after that, you know, there's not a lot to go around, not a lot in the cookie jar.
So in the month of January and February, until business picks up, radio stations that would traditionally play maybe 12 minutes of commercials an hour... Mm-hmm. They've only got like 3 minutes of commercials an hour to play.
Yeah, towards the end of January, things change. That's why I'd like to thank all the fine jewelry stores that are going to be advertising towards the end of January.
Oh, yeah, that's the Valentine's Day.
They created holiday that was, designed for retailers.
But now, virtually every station I've heard, and I heard it on five or six different stations there, the country station, on the soft rock station, it's our gift to you. More commercial-free hours in 2001. Well, no, that's not true because... Right. They're just doing it now because they can't sell the commercials. Listen, right. The greedy bastards, just like the greedy bastards are here.
Right.
They'd sell the commercials if they could.
Sure.
You know, and which is more power to the greedy bastards here because, in case you haven't noticed, if you listened yesterday, we're playing the same amount we always play.
Well, this is, we're a different island here. We really are. I mean, those people that are back there struggling in the back room there, they're under penalty of death to get these commercials on the radio. Right?
All right. So anyway, listen, don't be fooled by that by your local station because good. Come the middle of February, all of a sudden all these promises that they're making about how they care about you and they asked you what you really wanted to hear on the radio, they're just going to say F that and they're going to go back to doing the way that at least stations that play records, here's what they do now. They'll come on and they'll play like 8 records in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll play 10 commercials in a row.
Right.
Then they'll play 8 records in a row. Then they'll play another 10 commercials in a row.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's a bass-ackwards way to do it. So anyway, our lead story today is the sad secret that Colonel Klink took to his grave.
What?
Werner Klemperer, this is from the tabloid buzz. It's not a real secret, but...
We can pretend.
I brought it to you because it's such BS. The headline in the Enquirer is, "The Sad Secret Colonel Klink Took to His Grave." I think everybody knows that Werner Klemperer, the guy who played Colonel Klink, was German and also Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
He won 2 Emmys playing an inept Nazi on Hogan's Heroes. Werner Klemperer, now listen to this, though. It says that he had such high moral standards that he made up his mind that he would only play Colonel Klink if they made him the most stupid officer there's ever been in the Nazis.
Right.
His first love was music. He turned to acting. His one requirement was, on Hogan's Heroes, that the good guys always must win. Otherwise, he'd quit the show.
That's true.
Now, listen, I don't doubt that the guy felt this way, but imagine that you're in the production meeting of Hogan's Heroes one day, and they're sitting around there, they're pitching ideas, and one guy says, "Hey, hold on, wait, I got a great one. How about this week, Quint goes crazy and kills, like..."
Kills Colonel Hogan.
Kills 80 prisoners and brings a big train loads full of people in,
right,
on their way to the Holocaust. And how about he pulls gold fillings out of dead people's mouths?
I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is it would be ludicrous to think it could go any other way on Hogan's Heroes.
So it's not like Colonel Klink was such a hero. I mean, Werner Klemperer was such a hero for for demanding that Colonel Klink be played as an idiot, because how else are they going to play the Nazis on a show,
right,
on an American show?
Absolutely.
That portrays a bunch of guys in a POW camp.
You know, I wasn't old enough to know when that show came out exactly, you know, what the ramifications were for that show, but I'm sure there had to be a little controversy when that show debuted, when that show first went on the air. Even though it was a silly, stupid comedy, I would imagine sensibility still ran pretty high about World War II.
People were upset until they watched it, until right. they saw that the Nazis
were bumbling
idiots. Were dopes.
Right,
that Hogan really had all of the tunnels and everything, and he could listen to Klink on the coffee pot, and he had
right.
the little microphone on the picture of Hitler in Klink's office.
So what you're saying, it's a story that's really a non-story.
Yeah, it's a non-story. I don't doubt that maybe this guy, because he was, you know, German and Jewish, he felt strongly anti-Nazi.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Listen, with the exception of Rob Spiewak, who's not anti-Nazi. But listen, I don't think that it's the sad secret that Colonel Klink took to the grave.
No.
And I can't imagine that at any point when they were having the pitch meeting, someone came up and said, wait, hold
on. You're right.
How about this week? Nutty. How about Klink executes like 5 civilians just for walking around downtown?
Yeah, no way.
That
never could have happened.
I will not do that.
Hi, this is Werner Klemperer. I have an idea that I will go berserk, and I will put a Luger to Hogan's head and pull the trigger. He won't die because he is the star of the show, but he will go through a protracted rehabilitation process.
Yeah. The sad secret he took to his grave.
No, really.
Now, the sad secret is that the poor schmuck, he hated being known as Colonel Klink.
Kind of like Ray Walston, who just passed away, hated being known as the Martian.
Yeah, although he did dig being known as Mr. Hand.
Yes. He likes Mr. Hand.
He didn't like being the Martian. And as a matter of fact, the last time we had Colonel Klink on our show,
right,
he got pissed off when we were referring to him as Colonel Klink.
I think he got pissed off anytime he was interviewed, you know. I mean, he just had that kind of personality. When he did one on the phone with us. He did one way back when he came into the studio. And didn't we have a whole briefing before he came by?
Yes.
He didn't want to, you know, he doesn't mind talking about the Colonel Klink.
But don't call him Klink.
And spend some time talking about his music. Right?
Conductor.
And also, don't forget, he demanded being introduced as Emmy Award-winning actor Werner Klemperer.
There.
He wouldn't speak.
I think we've proven on this show that when someone wins the Emmy, things change.
I think they get a medication. There's something coding the statue.
Hold on, I'm getting a psychic message from Mike. I'm getting Patricia Heaton.
Boy, wow, good job. Boy, that was a subtle one, wasn't it?
And you know what? I can't watch that goddamn Raymond show.
That show has been ruined for me, and it's horrible.
Anymore.
I'm so sad because it's a great show, and now I'm just so biased that I can't watch her.
She was such a B.I.H. that day that she was on our show, and the fact that she actually called Les Moonves, Mel Karmazin, and Dan Mason, all three big muckety-mucks with CBS and with Infinity.
She, sitting atop the heap, the TV sitcom heap, decided to take a shot at the two, you know, guys that are just one rung above circus clowns down here.
Just for asking her the silly sex quiz.
Yeah.
And I found even on as late as Monday night, when they were running a rerun that I hadn't seen before, I watched it, and she's portrayed on the show as a nice lady and as a good mom and as a friendly person.
I think one of the things, you probably feel the same way about her that I did. I mean, I really thought, you know, she was one of my favorites. I thought she was really one of the best actresses. I still think she is. She's a great actress on that show. But now it's ruined because when I see her, all I can think of is there's the lady that was so mean.
There's the lady that wanted to get us fired.
Right,
now,
exactly.
On the other hand, you know, we do love TV's Leah Remedy from King of Queens.
We do indeed. Wonderful lady.
And we did receive our Christmas gift from Leah. And it's a card addressed to all of us. And it says, "Know what this is?" Has a snowflake on front, and it says, "Frosty the Snowman's baby picture."
Uh-huh.
But then she writes, "Dear Charlie, Don, Mike, Rob, and Buzz." Please note that she addresses it to Charlie first.
Yeah. Fascinating that she does choose to put him in the front.
Just a little something I'd like to see you all in. I would appreciate you guys picking the one you like and taking a picture for me. Merry Christmas. Love, Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And what she has sent are underpants.
What?
Okay.
She has sent each of us a pair of Joe Boxer
Joe Boxer.
Some of them are silk. Here's one that's like got a cow print on it. Here's one that's got lions and tigers. Here's one that's got smiley faces. Here's one that says "My Ding-a-ling" that actually has little bells down by the crotch area.
Very festive.
Listen, Leah, speaking for everybody, at least in this room, not a freaking chance.
No, we're not going to pose in those.
We are going to, what we are going to do is buy Leah some underwear and send it to her and tell her that if she would like to take a picture of her in the underwear and send it to us, then we would be glad to return the favor and send the picture to her.
It's a magnificent challenge.
Okay, because absolutely no way.
Has anyone gone over to Victoria's Secret to pick out her outfit yet?
Something nice and silky.
Yeah, like those new commercials they're running, Victoria's.
Those new commercials are fantastic.
Yeah, they get better and better.
They're not commercials for underwear. They're commercials for breasts.
Boobs.
Yeah, big, big, beautiful boobs.
Titanic orbs of fun flesh.
Damn, I love those Victoria's Secret commercials. Yeah. All right, a couple of phone calls here, and then on with the show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Oh, hold on, Mike, I forgot to tell you.
Yes.
Also, just going through all the mail we received at Christmas. Once again, you and I were lucky enough to get another personalized card from Julio Iglesias.
Oh, what are those, his grandchildren?
Yes.
Oh, are those Enrique's kids?
I guess so. I don't know why.
Does Enrique have any kids?
We had Julio Iglesias.
Those are his kids.
These are his?
Yeah.
Oh, stud.
He's vibrant.
What a stud. How old is he? Was he 65 now?
I think he's like George Michael's age.
You mean George Gimble?
That's the one I meant.
So he's 75.
We had Julio Iglesias on this show exactly one time. One time. Mm-hmm. And he thought he was taping something for a morning radio show because he was driving down the road in South Beach. And he had a bad cell phone and he was cussing and he was talking about sex. And once he realized that he was actually on the radio.
Oh, hello. You're funny.
He fell in love with the concept of the show.
He loved it.
And once again, here we go. Much love, Don and Mike. Julio, and I can't read the rest of the names. Miguel and Padrizo and maybe Miranda.
It looks like Julio, Miranda, Miguel, and
Pasido?
Rodrigo.
Well, whatever. We got another Christmas card from Julio, though.
Pasido Domingo.
He's the only celebrity who every year sends us a Christmas card.
That's terrific.
That's great.
It was nice to... Did you get the card from our agent at home?
Hey.
Did you get the card from our agent?
Yes, the one that had no message written inside.
No message, just like scratching from all the employees there.
Yeah.
You know, like a giant get well card. It just, for some reason, it rubs me the wrong way. You know, where they all sign it, you know, all at different angles, like it was placed on their desk and they
drinking.
Had to do it.
I think they all sit around a conference table and drink and sign Christmas cards.
It makes me always, I always open it up and I hesitate to because I know it's going to hurt my feelings and I'm not sure why it does, but it does.
You know what I did? I was so pissed when I opened up the Christmas card from our agent that I actually sat down. Well, obviously I had tons of time on my hands over the last couple of weeks. And I figured out over the last 17 years that he's been my agent how much money he has earned, how much he had earned, and it ended up being...
Oh, my God. Don't show me this. This is going to put me in
over. Over that much.
Wow.
And I was lowballing that.
You're definitely lowballing.
And I'm figuring,
gotta be.
At least for that much, I deserved... the more I read it, I said...
You deserve a gift.
You know, I said, you know what I at least deserve? I at least deserve a personalized card that says, you know, thanks for being my client.
You know what?
For 17 years.
It's beyond a personalized card. It's a gift. After all these years, you and I both deserve a gift at Christmas time from our agent. You know what I was thinking? I was also thinking that when I opened up that it would have been nice to say, hey, hope everything goes well in 2001, Don. Not all the other schleps in that office.
Right.
But the main guy, Donnie from our agent, you know. And then I'm thinking now when I hear you talk, especially you after all these years, because you said this is your agent, you made him my agent.
Yeah, and actually, I can't even take credit because he was Buzz's agent, and I got turned on to him from Buzz.
Right.
There you go. Like 19 years ago.
That means to me that the three of us deserve gifts.
Big time.
All right, well, let's make a note to call Ephraim on today's show.
That's a good idea. We should call Ephraim and say, perhaps it's time. You know, we get gifts from management here occasionally. You know, I know Alan has gave us a very nice gift.
Hey, this is fantastic.
Oh, but it's not true. Now, before you start, it's not true because it's in the trunk of my car.
Oh, then you lied to him?
No, I didn't lie. I thought I had done that. It was another bottle of the same product that I had given away.
It was a great moment.
I just
didn't
want you to get all revved up and go. I know what you're going to
talk
about.
Just let me say what happened in the office yesterday.
Okay.
Alan Linewand, the de facto general manager of the station, the puppet general manager.
Right.
He's the only guy who actually acknowledged the fact that Mike and I, in December, celebrated our 15th anniversary of being America's favorite DJ team.
Right, right, right.
And he got us each a bottle of very nice champagne, Dom Perignon. It's about $100 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to each of us with a nice note that said, you know, here's to 15 more. Not a chance, Alan. And he came in the office yesterday and he said, hey, did you guys enjoy the booze? And I said to him, oh, listen.
Don goes into this whole thing about, hey, we opened it up.
On New Year's Eve, Frida drank most of it, but all my house guests enjoyed it. He turns the mic and he says, how about you? And Mike says,
I said, I re-gifted it. Because I really thought I had. Thought I'd re-gifted it, and I hadn't re-gifted it. I didn't even give it to anybody. It's still in the trunk of my car. Because when I was going to drop my car off today, it was sitting there, along with those very nice gifts that you gave my kids.
The kids.
I haven't gotten anything out of the trunk my car.
So make nice Easter gift.
Yeah. So I you gave them to me last night.
That's true.
So I forgot to take them out of the car last night. That's not like I didn't give them December 15th.
But combined with my delay, it's going to be Easter.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. But it cracked me up yesterday.
I know. I see no reason to tell him that that I really didn't re-gift it.
Because Alan did seem to be disturbed.
Yes.
When you told him, just with a straight face.
I said, have you ever done that? And he said, no. No, I haven't. But I have re-gifted. I probably re-gifted booze more than any other gift. Because, I mean, you know, when you get a lot of booze, and I do at my house, you re-gift it occasionally. You really do.
All right, I write myself a note. We'll call you from.
Very good.
We'll do that very shortly. Say, where's our friggin' gift?
And I think we should indicate that, you know, we're not looking for a bottle of booze or something.
Yeah, or a pen and pencil set.
No, we're looking for something valuable.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
With socks.
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
How's it going?
Hey, great, thanks.
Oh, by the way, happy anniversary to you, too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, about Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I'm 42, and when I was young, as when it was on in prime time, and we loved it. It was always funny every week. And I remember once asking my grandmother if she watched last week's episode, and she gave me such a nasty look. She said she would not watch that show because so many American soldiers died over there.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that. You know, I'm the same age as you. I do have a memory of that kind of sentiment to some of my family members. It really seemed like it was people our age that kind of got into it more than anything else when it was on prime time.
Sure, who doesn't love a good dumb Nazi?
It was Hogan's Heroes in the Wild Wild West. I remember those being on around the same time.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was talking about Patricia Eden earlier.
Yes.
Did you see that special where she had like her five little brats and she was just saying how much she was devoted to her? Like, I guess it might have been E.
No, you know, it was on, I think it was on CBS. It was like
CBS.
It was Monday night. It was the 10 most influential women.
Right, right.
Of the year 2000. And Patricia Heaton.
Number.
I don't know what number she was. I don't.
And she was profiled, and did she do a little Kathy Lee number when she was profiled? Or
I didn't see it. I just saw they did the promo where they ran past the faces of the women.
She made the list.
And immediately said, Patricia Heaton's on the list. Patricia Heaton is, you know, a C word.
Yeah, they were talking to her five kids, and they were, like, hanging all over her. And she was saying how she loved those kids, and she wished she spent too much time with them. I mean, she spends all kinds of time.
You know, let me just say,
there's nothing really wrong with that. But
I don't doubt that Patricia Heaton loves her kids, and I don't doubt that she's a good mother.
Yeah, I just don't trust anybody that has to come out on television and say that.
Uh-huh. And the fact that she was on this show and she was such a bitch on this show, not to mention the fact that she, above and beyond the call, not only was she upset about the appearance on the show, she actually called the Muckety Mucks at CBS to try to get us canned.
Yeah, this is someone who had also been on the show the year before, or 2 years before, and really that's what we really felt kind of blindsided, because even during the segment itself, we made it pretty clear to her what kind of questions we were going to be asking, and that's why we felt totally torpedoed, and I didn't know that you would be, I thought you'd be able to watch that show.
I can't
watch that show anymore, and I'm really I feel horrible about that. I'm afraid of the whole Monday lineup on CBS now, you know? It just bugs me. Sitcom. I've soured on sitcoms because of that experience.
Well, you're not soured on Leah.
No, not Leah. I mean, Leah would be the only one, though.
I think Kevin's coming on the show later this week to promote whatever. You know, poor Kevin James. Whatever dog and pony show CBS has, they make this guy do it. You know, it's one year it's the Macy's Parade.
Right.
One year it's the Tournament of Roses Parade. This year he has to host the goddamn People's Choice Awards.
You just wait till they hit their magic number with syndication for that show.
Uh-huh.
When they hit that big money number where they all get paid, where the big payday comes in, I think that's when Kevin's going to change his tune. I really do. I think that's when he's going to go, oh, you want me to host the parade? I got your parade right here.
Well, he's coming on later this week. He's going to be discussing the material that he's going to be using on this People's Choice Awards.
Still a stand-up comedian at heart.
Yeah, he sure is. Oh, also, we got to tell you, one more TV note. Next week, when we go to New York, we're going to be at WNEW, I think Thursday and Friday of next week. On Thursday, the people from SoapNet, do you know what that channel is?
Yeah, I mean, don't they recap soap operas in the evening or something
they
like that?
They run old ones all day long.
They run the new ones at nighttime.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the
They do. They run the whole soap opera at night.
It's one of the few channels that I don't buy on DirecTV. Mm-hmm. They're going to come in to the studio next week and do a feature on you and I and the fact that we love One Life to Live.
Oh, wow.
And they want to tape us
watching One Life to Live?
Watching One Life to Live to get our comments.
Well, that's fantastic, but up in New York, we don't have any place to watch One Life to Live. Well,
yes, we do in the studio. What they're going to do is tape it. They're going to tape the show and then bring a VCR and a big screen TV into the studio.
And just get our comments.
At NEW, and we're actually going to be able to spend an hour of the show watching the soap opera, and they want us to comment exactly as we would up in the office when we watched the show.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I mean, without the profanity.
Yes, yes, very good. Well, I'll look forward to it. We had a wonderful moment today watching Linda Dano with her Rod Stewart haircut and her troweled-on eye makeup.
And don't forget her big fish mouth.
Yes, her unbelievably big fish mouth.
So is it going to be like Mystery Science Theater 3000? They're going to run the clip with your commentary in the background? Or is it just going to be a feature of you watching it? Or
no,
it's going to be?
What it is apparently, here's how this was explained to me, that what they've done is they found an NBA basketball player
right.
who watches one of these shows every day.
Okay.
They found some guy who's like a U.S. Marshal.
They're looking for the straight stuff is what they're looking for.
Right.
They're looking for people that like the show and are really concerned about the plot. I was thinking today of what would happen in the office. The funniest thing would not be arable in any way when we were talking about Bo kissing that blonde lady and we were talking about Bo having a boner. That was true quality as far as I was
concerned. On this show, One Life to Live, Bo Buchanan gave his girlfriend, his fiancée, he gave her a gift. And it was a gift to signify each of the five senses.
Ah.
Like he gave her flowers and she said, oh, that's for smell.
Right.
And then he gave her a bottle of champagne and she said, oh, that must be for sound, for the popping of the champagne cork. I said to Mike, when they get the taste, he's going to grab her head, pull her head down to his crotch and say, hey, taste this. You know, taste my wiener.
So I don't think that will be shown on SoapNet.
No.
Because, I mean, their audience is still the soap opera people.
But that's how we watch that show.
That is how we will, you know, we'll be able to modify it for whatever
for us,
audience.
One Life to Live is really a dramedy.
Yes.
I mean, there are sometimes, when they do something cool on that show, like kill a character off who you don't expect.
Right.
Sometimes we do really sit back and go, wow.
Yeah.
But most times, we watch that show, and we just totally goof on it.
We goof on it and talk about Ace of Drinks. Today, really, don't you wish they had those cameras in there today? Because we really pay, sometimes we don't pay any attention to it at all. And sometimes, like today, we really got into it. Because
they were having their New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and, you know, we said, there's Ace of drinking again. That tuxedo doesn't do him justice with his turkey neck.
Well, that's next week, so keep in mind that SoapNet is coming up to tape us next week.
Very exciting.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don!
Yes, hi.
How you doing? I'm John. I'm calling from New York.
Hi, John. How are you, sir?
Good. You guys are outstanding. I listen to you every evening, you know, because of the 3-hour delay and everything.
Right.
God bless you.
Thank you. And I'm off today because today's New Year's Eve for UPS, so I get to pick a day, and I pick today, and I says, you know, I can call them and get them live.
And really, now, is this how UPS does it? If you're a driver who has to work For instance, on a holiday, do you get to pick whatever day you want?
Well, it's like this. We got New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Well, New Year's Day, UPS was closed. New Year's Eve, because it was a Sunday, they're closed anyway. So by seniority, we can either work the day and get time for the day and time and a half for working the day. So it's a double time and a half day.
I'm right. Completely confused.
No. If he works the day, he gets time and a half.
Okay.
Plus the 8 hours for the holiday.
You mean if you work New Year's Day?
No, New Year's Day, UPS is closed. Monday, we were closed. No action, no deliveries.
But they did make deliveries on Sunday on New Year's Eve.
Oh, you did work New Year's Eve.
No. See, we won't work that actual day.
See, that's where I'm confused.
Oh,
he's talking about this is my New Year's Eve, and all I have heard from this gentleman is that they are closed on Sunday, and they were closed on New Year's Day.
Did they give some guys the option to work on New Year's Eve?
Well, not on the Sunday. See, New Year's Eve...
All right, but so what you're saying to me is
Let me explain. Okay. I picked Wednesday as my New Year's Eve day, because it's a regular work day.
But you had New Year's Eve off.
Right.
And you had New Year's Day off.
Yes. I got paid for Monday. I didn't get paid for Sunday because Sunday is a regular day off regardless.
Right.
Okay. Now, but because the holiday fell on the Sunday.
I got it. He got a bonus day.
A bonus day. I understand
right.
that.
Because if New Year's Eve had fallen on a Monday, then...
Like next year... It's Monday and Tuesday,
gotcha.
And we will be off those 2 days.
Oh, okay, now I understand what you're talking about.
So listen, if you did in fact get New Year's Eve off and New Year's Day off,
right?
Did you party then? And if today is then your New Year's Eve, are you going to party tonight?
Well, I've been partying most of the day.
that's why you called.
You know, taking it easy. My son, I got a 2-year-old sleeping, so he's inside. The wife's doing the laundry, and, you know, I'm chilling. You know, 2 weeks ago, when it was peak season with the deliveries, it was a madhouse.
And are you a guy, are you on the front lines? You do the actual driving yourself?
Yeah. I'm a driver, a delivery guy. I go out on a regular day, 95 deliveries, 135 packages. And peak season from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve, going out with 160 deliveries, 250 to 300 packages.
Is this true that a lot of people think that when a UPS guy is done, like if you deliver all your packages, if you get done by 1 in the afternoon, you can go home? Is that not true, that if you get done early, you have to go back and get more packages?
No, you do not. What you go out with in the morning is what you deliver with all day. There is rarely, no one is finished at 1 o'clock, because they have to make sure that you have an 8 hours day, an 8 hours worth of work in your truck for the day. And you have pickups. See, so you'll do, some drivers go out with like 70 deliveries, and then they have 15 pickups. I, in fact, have only one pickup, but they fill my truck up.
Do you like that? I mean, that's a job. I love what I do. I could imagine having a regular job, but if I was going to have a regular job...
I'd like a job like that.
A UPS job would seem to be where you at least have freedom. You don't have some dick telling you 24 hours a day what to do.
True. I'm my own boss out there. I happen to be lucky enough to have my own route.
And if you want to finish, I mean, conceivably, if you want to finish at a certain time, you can, right? I mean,
yeah, within a margin, you know. If I would never do it, but if I like work through lunch, you know, or depending on how my load is, see.
Well, when would they frown on you? Like if you started ringing people's bells at 11:30 at night with a package, that's probably unacceptable, right?
Well, but during Christmas season, I was knocking on people's doors at 10 o'clock at night.
Really?
Yeah, because I had to work in my truck. You know, we're going out Christmas season, we're going out with double what we normally go out with. I have a partner there. That's a helper that they just hired from the street. So naturally, he can't deliver the way I can because I've been doing it, you know, for years.
Are there UPS groupies?
I think so.
I mean, are there? I mean, I know that you mentioned you're a married guy and you've got a kid, but, you know, it's almost like the plot to a porno movie
right.
where a UPS guy, you know, wearing the shorts, you know, comes up to the door and...
The women call me legs on the route.
Right. Do you wear your shorts during the winter?
No. When it's 12 and 20 degrees out, no. We just had a big snowstorm here, no.
Do any of the guys wear their shorts during the winter?
Not in my center. There was a guy a couple years ago down in Manhattan. He had a bet going on with a postal guy. if they could wear their shorts, see who could go shorts throughout the whole year. I don't even know who won.
Shorts.
But, no, it's a real good job. But the money is very good. The benefits are very, very good. But I'm here to tell you, okay, Don, if you ever decided, you know, I don't think you would, but...
Well, mine.
You break your behind. Okay.
Well, then I'm out.
It's hard work.
If they pay you right and they pay you on time.
If it's hard work, I quit.
It's one of those few jobs that, you know, you get paid good money, but you work for.
Do you have a weight limit on packages that you have to deliver?
For one, the total UPS weight limit is 150 pounds. If I get a package that's 70 pounds or higher, another driver is to come with me and deliver that package.
Oh, okay, well, that's not bad. I mean, you see, you guys, that's a powerful union you guys have.
Yeah.
Right?
You ever deliver and, like, see naked chicks?
All the time.
Mm. All the time.
Well,
bingo.
Now we're getting some.
I can tell you stories. I mean, I'll give you a quick scenario. I knock on the door, and the woman opens it. She's got the little chain thing on the door, you know. She opened it up, and, oh, UPS. Okay, 1 minute. And then closes the door. And then I'm standing there with the package. So, you know, smart money says, well, okay. In the morning, she's, you know, half-dressed. She's going to put something on. Uh-uh. Wrong answer. Comes back to the door, opens the door, got the bathrobe on with no tie. Small package that I could hand her right across
my
hand. Please put it down.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, don't you want it? No, put it down. I put it down. She leans over. I see everybody.
good. Thank you, John. Thank you for calling.
Listen. Do you guys, like, have T-shirts or anything that, like, I can order?
No, this company is too freaking cheap.
We're totally cheap, but come and see us when we do our New York, Las Vegas-style show.
You're going to be doing it, like, this time of the day?
We do our live shows at nighttime, so just keep listening to NEW. We're coming up there soon.
Cool. Thank you, Don and Mike. Right. You're very cool.
Thank you, John.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Great guy. I see everybody.
God damn, I hate the tape delay. I truly do,
yeah,
because I would love to be able to talk to more people from goddamn New York City.
Absolutely.
I really would.
You think that they could, I don't want to get in trouble or anything, you think that they could make a few moves now? I would think everything's fine.
I don't know why. You know, there was a, let me just say for the record, there was a plan that was out there about 90 days ago that was supposed to fix all these problems.
Yep.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I mean, why else would they put ONA on the weekends here if they weren't thinking about maybe introducing them in some way to the Washington, D.C. market?
Exactly.
Because we're very happy. Obie and Anthony have their best of show. It's on the weekend now on WJFK.
Cool.
I'm sure nobody's bothered to tell Obie and Anthony that nobody listens to WJFK on the weekends. But, you know, I mean, that's why we pulled our weekend show from WJFK.
Sure.
Because nobody listens on the weekend.
It wasn't worth it.
But listen, you know, regardless, they're on the weekends here now, so maybe that's a first step towards that master plan we talked about.
I hope so. I hope something shakes out.
Who the hell knows? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, Don?
Yes.
How come you guys are not on the peak anymore?
Oh, we are on the peak. Will you knock it off?
They changed it to a black country station.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
They got Charlie Pride on billboards.
Shut up.
Get out of here. Black Pride, yeah. That would be it, Charlie Pride. If you had a black country format, that would be the only artist you could play.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Unless you played Nelly. Have you heard Nelly's song Country Grammar?
No.
I mean, it's hardcore. It's hardcore rap. He's the guy from St. Louis.
Okay, all right.
But the song is called Country Grammar.
I think, to the best of my knowledge, the only black country artist is Charlie Pride.
I think so.
Hey, Robbie, find me Nelly in here.
All right.
I want to play Nelly for a second. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi. Am I on?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Ryder.
Yeah.
Remember, this is Ryder, the guy we sent to Reno to get laid.
Ryder, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm doing good. It's really great that you guys are back on the air.
Now, it's good to be back on the air, Ryder.
Ryder's life gets better when you guys are on the air.
And I guess Ryder's life got better in the month of December, too, didn't it?
Oh, God, the life better. Christmas came early this year.
Beautiful. Ryder, listen, hold on a second, please. I have to break into this bulletin. According to CBS Sportsline, Marty Schottenheimer will be hired as head coach and general manager of the Washington Redskins.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Which means that I'm effectively going to be using my season tickets as toilet paper now.
Oh, my God.
Can that be true? And Jesus Christ, they got him on the cheap. A four-year contract worth $10 million.
Because
they were going to pay Parcells like $5 million a year.
Yeah. Marty Schottenheimer, they like the names, don't they? If you've got a name, you're okay.
You know, there's a reason that Marty Schottenheimer is not coaching and that he's sitting in a TV room all the time.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
I think he'll relate well to the players.
Sportsline.com has learned through league and team sources that former Kansas City and Cleveland head coach Marty Schottenheimer will be hired as coach and general manager of the Washington Redskins. Well, listen, if you happen to be listening, Marty, here's all you got to do to keep that job, okay? First, purse your lips, purse them together like this, and then go up and find Dan Snyder's ass.
Snyder!
And then put those lips right in between those ass cheeks. And I mean, suck. Don't kiss that ass. Suck that ass.
Right.
And you'll keep that job at least through next season.
Well, there's always what? Pepper.
Pepper Johnson.
Sure. Or is it Pepper Rogers?
No, Pepper Johnson was Angie Dickinson on Police Woman.
Isn't Pepper Johnson the football player who played for the Giants?
Yeah, and hold on, there was a third Pepper also. Yes, it was Pepper Johnson for the Giants.
Pepper Police Woman.
Pepper Rogers, the old football guy, and I don't know who the Pepper was, what her last name was on goddamn Angie Dickinson.
It was just Pepper. You used to call her Pepper, that guy that looked like Doug McClure.
You going to look it up, Rob? Okay. You never heard this? This is Nelly, Country Grammar.
I have this in my car.
In the video, they wear like Rams jerseys and St. Louis Cardinals jerseys.
Hey, baby. Nelly ever performed this when she was on Little House?
Wrong Nelly, Rob.
Oh, my fault.
Wrong Nelly. I should say Keith Jackson hasn't retired yet. Wrong Nelly. How about Nelly? History of the Crimson Tide of Alabama. Wrong Nelly. Nelly, Nelly, Nelly.
So that's Nelly. The Country Grammar. That's his song.
I'm
from the
Loop and I'm proud. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Like that.
Like Nelly. Oh, hold on. What happened to Ryder? Hello, Don and Mike. Ryder?
Yeah. Oh, no. This is Tom.
Tom? Who's this? Oh, Tom from Seattle?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, Tom.
Radio Lord.
Hi.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe how good you do your job. I actually tried out on air yesterday for an hour and a half radio show. Just a small AM station.
Yeah.
You guys are masterful. I cannot believe how hard. I mean, it was exhilarating, but Jesus Christ, I only had an hour and a half to fill. And talk about trying to be charming for an hour and a half. I have a whole respect for what you guys did.
That right there.
You tried to be charming.
Mike and I never...
I tried to be simply charming.
We are never charming. Simply charming.
No, I mean, that's, I figured that would, at least, I forgot everything immediately.
Radio guy.
That was Tom Likas, incidentally, I believe. I tried to be charming for an hour and a half, and I found it absolutely masterful. What was her name?
Pepper Anderson.
Pepper Anderson.
Pepper Anderson.
On Police Woman.
I can't believe your man didn't come up with that quicker than I did.
Yeah, Rob.
Rob, you have anything to say to this? You haven't really spoken to our listeners very much since we came back from vacation.
I'd like to say Happy New Year, Dick.
There he is, Rob.
My name's Donald, not Richard. Sorry.
Rob's got a little lower energy than he normally has due to the baby and all.
Rob Speedway, the listener's friend. Hey, Ryder.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
I'm right here.
We got to do a break. Glad you're doing okay. Don't be a stranger. Call back anytime.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right, there he goes. There's Ryder. Listen, we really got to get a break in here. An action-packed first segment it was.
Yeah, boy, that's incredible.
Commercial free. Lots of stuff. And good luck, Marty Schottenheimer.
I am so excited.
Marty Schmuckenheimer. We'll start today's show with a call 100 and your chance to win $500 with a secret song. Yeah, that's... that's right. Secret song for year 2001. Mm. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Hey, everybody, we got Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer's going to be the coach of the Redskins. Yeah!
Yeah. Hooray.
We got Marty Schottenheimer, everybody.
Hooray.
We got effing Marty Schottenheimer.
Two words come to mind, Mike. Super Bowl.
We're going to the bowl.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Coach Schottenheimer.
Jesus Christ.
How many Super Bowls has he won?
Zero.
Oh, that's right.
Call 100 right now. Good luck. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
George Wendt, Angela Lansbury, and comedian Jeff Cesario.
Good.
And now, because everybody else in show business was out of town or in rehab,
yes.
Hey now, hey now, Hank Kingsley.
Okay, good, Kingsley. Good. No, your instincts are absolutely right. You mind?
No.
No, just my opinion, but I think you want to go, you know, two notes, but you want to go up on the second note. You think,
Kingsley.
Don't get
a clarinet riff.
No,
B flat. Kingsley.
You got it. There it is.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I tried to give away some dough. I recall her. 100. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Power 100.
Right. What's your name?
Glenn from Leesburg.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for calling. You are the 100th caller.
Thank you very much.
And, Glenn, you've won 25 Durex condoms.
Woohoo!
Feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever. Durex condoms. All right, now here we go. $500 with a secret song. It is a song that we have digitally re-altered.
You boys have been playing in the studio again.
Yes, we have. Identified this toe-tapping top 10 song, and you will win $500. Please don't answer till Mike sings like.
Robert Blue.
And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
And there it is. God, I love that song. That's a great song. I sing it all the time. And if you can identify it, you win 500 bones.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. What's the song?
How about I Can't Get Enough of Your Love by Bad Company?
Would you please repeat that?
I Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Rob?
Hey!
Wow!
Hey, fantastic!
Wow.
Rob. I like Rob when he nodded at you. Like, he's the worst thing that could possibly happen to his day.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll get you on the next one. Get the next one. How'd you get it?
The opening guitar chord sounded just like, you know, that's the first thing that came into my head.
Yep, here it is again. Listen now.
Down, down, down.
Well, you digitally messed with it, but you kept the note the same.
Yeah.
You didn't mess with the note.
The song is the same. What we did was take. Oh, is that the new one?
Yep.
Hold on. Give me. Do we have all the different versions of that one that we listened to?
No, I avoided them.
Do we have the original? Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Yeah.
Get the original, yeah, so I can play you. What we did is we took the 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, ba ba ba.
Okay.
And
all right. See, I mean, that song is edited so much for radio that when I hear it a lot of time, it goes right to the guitar.
Let's do it again. See, we knew someone would get it, though, based on that. Because I got it right away.
Down.
Hey, way to go.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You have won the first $500 of the year from the show. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks again.
Congratulations,
way to
sir.
Go. Now, you didn't have to tape it and play it back or anything?
Oh, no. I got it the first time I heard it, and this is my first chance to get through to you.
Now, you got a lot of them, too, right? Rob did them and then played them for you, and you got a lot of them?
I think of the ones he played me about 10. I bet you'd get, like, 6 out of the 10.
Oh, really?
I think, Buzz, you'd get 6 out of the 10. But what I don't know is if you guys would get as many as that, and if I got as many as I got, because we've heard the goddamn songs so many times.
Right. Oh, this is neat. I like this. Yeah. I like this idea.
So we played them so many times.
And using the count is a great idea.
Very tricky.
But that, this guy did it. He got it. He processed it.
Yeah, we'll F you up good on the next one, though.
Good.
The next one won't be as easy. All right, here's the original song that we use.
Hold on. Cut 7.
Cut 7?
Gotcha.
The original Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Bad Company, Ma.
If you please. Bad Company.
On the station that really rocks, man.
1, 2, 3. Hi, crowd, everybody. Good afternoon. 9 minutes after 4. My name is Al Bino. And I want to say something to you right now. I can't get enough of your cooter.
I'll take whatever I want.
Lovely cooter.
Cooter. Here he goes. You gotta give it another one here.
Okay. So listen one more time.
5, 2, 5, 2, 3. Here's the grand old WABC. How you doing, love? It's Rob Lundy with you. Rob Castle right now. Big thumb right up my ass. And I can't get it off.
But you hear what we did, so
that's good. I like that.
That's the intro, and all we did was take the opening chord
and a real I would imagine a real Bad Company aficionado would have picked up pretty quickly.
2, 5, 2, 3.
And all we did was play it backwards.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. So there you go. Congratulations.
Very, very neat.
What's your name again? We got to write it down so we can say it.
Glenn from Leesburg.
Glenn from Leesburg. Beautiful. Right. Thank you, Glenn.
Hey, thanks for starting my new year off the right way, guys.
You are very welcome. Now, we will have a brand new secret song for you on tomorrow's episode.
So we can't hear it today, right?
Pretty funny.
All right. Just once.
A preview?
Just once, a preview of tomorrow's Super.
People won't get a chance to play today, right?
No, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Once we're done, once we have a winner for today, that's it. We shot the wad for today. We'll come back with $500 more tomorrow.
They send the armed guards in here if we give more than $500 a day away.
Yeah. But here's the song for tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
That is so cool.
Totally twisted.
There are like a million songs. You know what I like about this one? There are a million songs going through my head right now.
Good day.
Again, toe tapping, top 10 hit.
Okay.
And we will start that contest tomorrow. Congratulations, Glenn, who won the money.
Good job.
Jesus Christ, that's something. Okay.
You know, I'm easily distracted, right? Now that song is on my brain.
Oh, you're going to write down what you think?
Yeah, I'm just still trying to get to it. I know what it is. It's
hello?
I'm trying to get to it.
Don and Mike show.
Yo, yo, what's up, Don and Mike?
Yo, yo, you think you know it, Buzz?
What? No, not really. This would be my guess. My first guess would be...
Country Grammar by
Nelly.
Yeah,
that's my first
No,
guess.
It's not Country Grammar by Nelly.
Oh, God.
Hello, what can we do for you?
I just been a nigga.
Hey, BN, listen, I thought you were going to be LBN. Or how about you even be NN? How about you be nice, you know, if you've got to use that other word?
Nah, man.
Come on, be FN. Be friendly.
Hey, let me get right to my point real quick.
All right.
I got a small bone to pick.
What?
What's up with y'all playing this white hillbilly stuff, man? How the brother supposed to know what that music is?
Yeah. He's got a point.
Yeah. Listen, now, hold on.
You mixed it up, right?
Yes. Let me tell you something. Bitter.
Hey, come on, we can't get with that bluegrass stuff.
Bitter, and there will be some funk, there will be some R&B, there will be some rap.
All right,
very good. You start with the hillbilly stuff first. You start with the redneck stuff first. That's
yeah,
what it is.
Of course,
that's
yeah.
That's only stuff that the pink toes were in your case.
I think a lot of brothers out there are familiar with Can't Get Enough of Your Love by Bad Company.
Or should I say, in your case, the green toes, you know?
Okay.
He is
angry.
Bitter.
All right. Very angry.
You're very bitter today. Goodbye, BN. I'm hoping that the 2001 is the year of less BN.
Yeah.
I don't mean less calls. I mean less bitterness.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to work on it. As long as 40 wife keeps giving me what I want, you know, I'm cool.
Okay, well, just take Mr. 40 out of it, please.
He always has to get 40 in there.
Gotta right. Get him in there, man. I hate him.
All right, so, Don, are you saying that
he's whiter than the whitest white man. I want you to know that.
The secret song contest will be the best mix?
Yes, it will, Mike.
It'll be the secret songs everybody can agree on?
As evidenced by the one you just heard.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
goodbye, BN.
Bye, buddy.
God damn it, he's bitter.
Very bitter man. You know, I'll tell you, the thing about, you know, looking from the outside in on this secret song contest, when you hear it, it all of a sudden it just freezes your brain.
Maddening.
And you start, it truly is maddening because, I mean, you're just noodling it through trying to come up with the...
Let it go.
It's hard.
Let it go until tomorrow.
Easy for you to say.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I was wondering if you could take me off the air and I can make a guess for you.
See, everybody, I knew as soon as you played that everybody that's doing what I'm doing right now, you play that and it's just, you can't stop thinking about it. It's horrible. It's like a disease.
And you have to wait till tomorrow till we play the game.
That's right.
I mean, unless you want to put your phone number up.
Sure. Well, I mean, if I'm right. How do you want to work this?
Well, the way that we work this, you put your phone number up, we verify that it is your home phone number, you get a guess. If you're incorrect, your phone number is broadcast to the entire free world.
But if you get it, we'll give you the money.
If you don't get it, people call you night and day.
That's fine.
All right, hold on. You know, being as we only played it once, I'll say this.
Yeah.
I got it based on the first time I heard it. It sounded obvious to me. Is it 5 or 6? Hello, who's this? Is this the guy?
Yeah, this is me.
Okay, yeah, it's line 6, Robbie. Line 6.
I know what it is, I just can't articulate the song. I know I could sing the song to you, but I wouldn't be able to write it down and tell you. That's the mental block, and that's why I'm going nuts right now.
I got it immediately.
And I think,
but you know what? I'm a savant like that.
Yes, you are.
Because I used to play games with like Scott Shannon. We play Stump the Stoop,
mm-hmm.
where you would just put a record on,
right,
and it would be whoever could name it the fastest just based on whatever intro it was.
Right.
I killed it that game.
I would say blow this guy off because he's saying that he'll give us his cell phone number.
No.
That's the number he'll answer more often.
No.
Not thick enough.
No, absolutely not.
Too risky.
Listen, you got to have the balls to put your home number up.
I can't do that to my phone.
All right.
Yeah. Right.
All
okay.
Right. Very good.
Bye-bye. Time waster. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Isn't she lovely? Isn't she beautiful?
Hey, it's one for you, Rob.
Isn't she precious?
Oh, I thought the guy was calling to guess for the
check
contest.
Check out the size of her head. Rob had a baby, named it Julia, and we wish her the best. Isn't she lovely? Made of head. Don't feed on man boobs, 'cause she'll look like you, and we would not want that. Isn't she lovely? Made of rock.
No, Mike, you know your guy.
I know.
I thought it was a guy trying to sneak in a guess for the secret song.
No, I know my guy.
It's your guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
This Don and Mike?
Yes, we are.
Hey, you guys, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
How are you?
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I wanted to see if you guys caught the Millionaire Show last night.
Last night? No.
Regis is doing his celebrity thing, and one of his guests was Kathy C.
Was it a new one?
Oh, no, that's a repeat.
That had to be a repeat.
A repeat on the Millionaire Show, which is still on the primetime schedule.
I know I lost the bet. I know.
Well, I just wanted to remind you because you have to have a lunch coming up with Dennis Murphy?
Next week. Having lunch at the Palm Restaurant in D.C. with Dennis Murphy at the Prime Power Table.
Ooh.
12 noon.
And you'll be taping it?
Taping the whole lunch.
Good, good.
Taping the whole thing.
Very good.
You're invited. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oops.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Hey, did you ever... Speaking of Marty Schottenheimer, you ever notice? I think he might be a long-distant cousin of Mr.
Mr. Who?
Larry King, with his little beady bug eyes.
You mean Marty Schottenheimer you think's related to Larry King?
Yeah, because they both
Larry King would have he wouldn't have a connection to anybody athletic.
No, I think this guy just means physically he looks like Larry King. I don't think he does, though.
No, I don't.
It's just because they both wear glasses.
No, hell no. No, goodbye.
Bye.
All right, see ya.
Goodbye. And no.
Hello.
John and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Angry black guy here.
Angry black guy. My God, it's BN. It's angry black guy. What's
I
up?
I got a bone to pick. Oh, by the way, what's up with you niggas?
Hey, what's up with you, angry black guy?
This damn impersonator. Who started everything? I think it was angry black guy, not bitter nigga. I think bitter nigga needs to go finish smoking those poles and leave my territory alone.
Oh, dear.
Because angry black guy is going to be real pissed black guy.
Oh, dear.
All right, now, BN is mad at Mr. 40, and angry black guy is mad at BN.
Right.
And Mr. 40.
How do you weigh in on...
40's my bitch.
How do you weigh in on the secret song contest, angry black guy?
I'm not sure. That's all white, hunky, hillbilly music I really don't listen to.
All right, well, angry black guy, duly noted.
Okay, so remember who was the king of all black people?
Yes, it's you, angry black guy.
All right, peace out. Hey, what's up, Buzz, man?
Hey.
Bye-bye. Hey, go see Castaway. Not one brother in the movie.
Right.
Not
I
one.
Saw that. Oh, my God. That was the god-awfulest crap ever seen. I'm like, Tom Hanks, hairy, naked, white ass running around on some beach. I wasted my money.
All right,
Don, I heard the show yesterday.
Yes.
What women want, awful.
Yeah.
Got a brother in there anywhere.
Now, you know, hold on. I do believe, although it might have happened after we walked out, there might have been one or two brothers in What Women Want.
I ain't see a nigga nowhere in there.
Hey, well, I don't remember.
Hey, what one is the Mel Gibson one?
Yes.
There's a black lady in it that I saw on the trailer.
Oh, no, hold on. Listen, and this I do, I'm not saying this to patronize angry black. The woman who's in the trailer is the typical black stereotype, because it's when Mel Gibson is walking out of his apartment, she's the doorman.
Right.
And as Mel Gibson walks out of the apartment, she thinks to herself, that is a fine.
Oh, Shirley from Good Times.
That is, what she's thinking is,
right.
Ooh, that is a fine ass.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's and the trailer, right.
And it's done, you know, when she's laying on the black reel, thinking, ooh, I would love to bite off a piece of that.
Yeah, I know which one. You're talking about the girl that looked like the security guy from Night Court.
Yes, what was her name?
Marcia Warfield.
She was all woman.
Yeah. I can't tell the difference between her and Mr. T, but that's just me.
All right, angry black, I'll see you.
See you later, Don.
All right, bye-bye.
So that you're saying that what she does is a stereotype?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. It might as well have been out of a Little Rascals movie. Because she's standing, she goes, she's thinking to herself. She's
right.
Looking at Mel Gibson. Ooh, that is a fine ass on that man. You know, and Frida said to me as we were sitting in the movie, she says, you can't even see Mel Gibson's ass that he's got on, like, a long business coat.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever I see Mel Gibson on screen, you can't see his ass all the time, but you can certainly think about it.
Ooh, yeah, I know you're right, Mike.
I know, really, during the entire Patriot, that's all I was thinking. I was patriotic about Mel's ass.
And you were thinking about it in a big black stereotype voice,
yeah,
weren't you?
Oh, I was going, ooh, look at Mel's ass.
Ooh, he's got that's a fine ass.
That's a fine ass.
Hello. Don and Mike's show. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, God. Hello. Happy New Year.
Hello, Dennis.
So, I didn't hear. When am I going to lunch with you?
Dennis, we are going to lunch next week. I'm not sure of the date yet. It'll either be Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, and after lunch, I'll just come in with a quick present.
All right, that's fine.
Fair enough, Dennis.
That's fine. Dennis, Charlie will call you and set it up. But you and I, Power Table, Palm Restaurant, next Tuesday or Wednesday to pay off a millionaire.
And no better day to get those Christmas presents than December, January 10th, Dennis.
I'm calling Mike.
All right, yeah, Dennis.
Of course you are.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
Could you remember that house explosion on Monday?
Silver Spring, yes.
I was 10 houses away.
Were you really? Were you in your house when it happened?
Yeah, I was sleeping, and the vibration was so bad that, I saw a piece at the house, but it was unbelievable.
For those of you around the country who don't know, the big story in D.C. was on Monday on New Year's Day, a house for whatever reason, natural gas, whatever.
Right. Huge explosion.
Just the house friggin' blew up.
Obliterated the house.
Blew up into a million pieces. And you know, as bad as that family must be feeling now because there was two people in the house, imagine how doubly bad they're going to feel when they know that Dennis Murphy
is their neighbor.
Just 10 houses away and he survived.
Actually, Beverly Book interviewed me, but apparently I didn't make the final cut.
That's a shocker. I can't imagine that. How was Beverly to talk to, Dennis?
Oh, Beverly was wonderful, but I don't think she could understand me.
I think Beverly Burke probably caused that blast when she let go one of her giant farts.
Vaporized the house.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Guess what happened to me Friday night?
Have you noticed I say goodbye to him?
Yeah, and he says, guess what?
New story.
And, you know, I'm tired of playing the guessing game. Why don't you just get right to it? So, you know, just say, something happened to me.
Well, something happened to me Friday.
You get laid?
No, I didn't get laid, but I was pulled over.
For DWI?
But I got lucky. Montgomery County let me go because I'm uncoordinated and my balance is not that great.
Were you drunk?
Yes.
That's smart, Dennis, when they let you go because you've been drinking. Always call the radio show and tell the world they did that.
Although, you know, he's got the perfect excuse. Imagine you're,
yeah, absolutely.
You're the cop that comes up to a car that's weaving, and it's Dennis. And, I mean, who can tell if he's drunk or sober anytime?
But, you know, right? I told the lady that I had Moby syndrome, and my balance isn't that great.
Yeah, but I would imagine, when you drink, and I know this from personal experience, I mean, anything you drink is about 8 feet in front of you. I mean, it comes out of your mouth. You can smell your breath a mile away.
Oh, so you can smell my breath, huh?
How much alcohol had you had?
I probably had around 7 or 8 beers.
Jesus.
Over what period of time?
4 hours.
I would do it.
Yeah, that would thank you.
Yeah, that will do it.
That do you?
That will do it. Well, I think your good luck may be running out, Dennis, with this phone call.
Well, thank you, Montgomery County. I will owe you forever.
And they really, Dennis, trust me, officers of the law really appreciate it when you broadcast the fact that they let a drunk driver go.
I guarantee the next time you're pulled over for speeding, you will not get off with just a written warning.
No. What happened was,
if you jaywalk in Montgomery County, they're going to put you in jail.
I had to park my car. They told me to take a taxi or get a ride home.
Oh, they did?
That's you common. Know what?
All right, so they took you off the street.
Maybe they just had like a million drunk drivers, and they just got tired of putting them in jail, and they just said, listen.
Well, that's good. Then they did their job. That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, Dennis.
Yeah.
All right, Dennis.
Thank you, Gong. Gong, I can't wait for lunch next week.
Me either. Don't drink before you drive down to the Palm.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be nice and sober.
All right, beautiful. Thank
okay,
you.
Have a great day and happy New Year, you all.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Buzz?
Yes, Dennis.
Hey, I bought my place today, so I'm going to need your assistance with the surround sound.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right. Call anytime.
Bye.
You volunteer that, Buzz?
Huh?
Sure.
All right, bye, Dennis.
Okay. See you later.
Happy New Year.
What kind of a mook?
Happy New Year.
What kind of a mook gets nabbed for drunk driving, is lucky enough to get off,
and then broadcast?
Calls up to talk about it.
He's Dennis Murphy. I'm glad that they made him get out of his car and take a cab home.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike show.
Jesus.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hey.
Hey, listen, I need Mr. 40 to know that there's a big contingency of 40 drinkers out there who will back him up against bitter and angry.
Right. You know, this always happens, and the brothers call to support Mr. 40.
Right, right. I called last time, and I'm getting a little fed up with the cats.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you.
40 strong.
Thank you. Peace. Peace out.
Are you going to cut Dennis's meat for him?
Don and Mike show. Yes, I will. Will that make you happy?
Yes, it does.
I will.
You know it already, yeah.
You know what? I'll feed him.
Yeah,
not only will I cut his meat
you
for
the
him,
man.
I will feed him.
That is Mike. Going beyond the call of duty.
And I promise you this, I'll feed him bread.
Wow.
I'll butter his bread and feed him bread.
Oh, I want video.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
It's Big V.
Yes, Big V.
Hey, I got an idea.
What, Big V?
Why don't you let me and Mr. 40 tag team against BN and AN and have Diamond Dallas Page as a guest referee?
All right, now listen, I got to break. Rob says we have to break. Rob is very upset. We've had four Negroes on the show in the last 20 minutes, and we have actually violated Rob's personal code. So we got to break. We will be right back.
This is the dog.
John and Mike Show.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reach!
Forgot that.
I always take you with me.
Hey, Reach.
Everywhere I go.
They love to hee-haw with the wrinkled meemaw, Don and Mike.
Sure do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Radio guys, how you doing?
Hi.
This is Bob from Staten Island.
Hi, Bob.
I'm bummed out. I just called to, see, I listen to your show every night. I drive a cab, and I was listening to the secret song last night. And I knew it, and I just called, and they said you already had a winner.
Did you, what was your guess?
I guessed it. Can't Get Enough by Bad Company.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm bummed out.
You know what? They're too freaking easy.
Oh, too man. Easy.
Mike has guessed the second one.
Ah, right. Good
already.
Job.
Already?
Yes.
Wow.
It killed him.
I
got to tell you, you should see Don and Rob when I guess it. I mean,
oh, sure.
I didn't know the name of it because I just had the last riff of it, and I had a mental block on the name of the song.
Right.
And I'm singing it, and Wendell's in here, and they're going, if it was up to you two ladies would keep that secret to your grave.
Well, it's more fun
I know.
To play the game when you guys don't know.
You enjoy it more when it's the degree of difficulty that takes a little longer. Now, I would think that one was one of the easier ones. Am I wrong about that? Or
the second one, they get progressively tough.
Okay.
Right. We had like 10 of them. And what we're going to do, based on the fact that you got that one already,
right,
is we're going to go with that one tomorrow, the one that we've already announced.
Right.
And then after we have a winner on that, we're going to go right to the end of the rack.
Wow. Go to the tough ones.
We're going to go to the really, the ones that you'll never get.
Okay. All right.
But yes, we have a new one tomorrow. You got it. Bad Company.
Yeah.
Too bad you didn't call earlier. We just gave the money away a half hour ago.
Oh, man.
Thank you, though, for listening every night.
Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
Thank you for listening to us every night on WNEW. And, Mike, congratulations.
Well, you think that I'm going to go running down the hallway screaming the answers and stuff.
What were you doing here at the window? You start singing the song.
Right.
He starts, because he doesn't know the title, he starts.
Well, I was singing the song as Wendell walked in here, and it's like, I told Wendell, I said, Wendell, don't share that with anybody.
And
right. You don't have to worry about me. I will keep it within the studio.
It's not that I worry about you.
Right,
As you were singing it, Wendell started singing it with you, and Mike said, what is the title? And neither Rob or I was going to give him the satisfaction.
Of course.
And Wendell goes,
he writes it down for me.
Right though. Here, sir.
That's it.
Writes down the title. I said, Wendell, throw the paper away. Throw it away. It's a close secret. Keep it close to the vest.
And my only suggestion would be, like, Rob, when we get the winners for all the songs, you should have the version ready to go, as soon as that happens, you know what I mean? So that they can hear it immediately, because I certainly would love to hear that song.
Okay, knock it off. See, that's why you can't know the secret.
I know.
You can't.
I'll stop.
With the secret.
I'll be on my very best behavior. I will be on my very best behavior. It's exciting for me. It's just like the listeners. You know, I play the game just like the listeners. In the event that I guess it early, I'm extremely excited.
Okay.
You don't know, do you, Buzz?
I still don't know, no.
Okay. And I'm not telling you.
I know you're not. That's fine.
Not right now.
That's fine. I'm okay
have
with that.
Have fun. Mike, have fun with him.
Okay.
Have fun with him as long as it lasts.
It's very complicated.
All right. Time out. Before, I know we have more phone calls, but I want to get one thing cleared up that happened here at the station while we were on vacation. And I want to do this quickly because Stossel's coming in. Mm-hmm. And not only do we have jail mail today for Stossel and his movies, he's actually now being sent parcels. He received
dear.
A box today from an inmate.
That's a little dicey.
Here's, in a nutshell, what happened. And again, I know about this because, as I mentioned, while I was in the hospital, I spoke to Rob virtually every day on the telephone.
Right.
He was a great friend, called me all the time. Well, one time we were talking, and I was calling him equally to find out if the baby was coming out.
Right.
One day I call him, and I said, any news on the baby? And he said, no, but guess what happened today at work? He said that the people upstairs at Advantage Title, the people that we share the building with,
mm-hmm.
that they were having their Christmas party.
Uh-huh.
And they had the omelet guy up there, mm-hmm. the guy who makes omelets. Rob was excited about that. And they were going to have margaritas.
Okay.
And apparently some of the salespeople went upstairs
right.
to the second floor to the other office that we share this building with and started to have some beverages. This is, two days before Christmas? Is this when this was?
It was the Friday before Christmas,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I believe
okay,
it was.
So Christmas is on Monday.
Right.
This is on the Friday before Christmas.
No, it was the Friday before the Friday before Christmas.
Okay, whatever. Either way, you know, a week until Christmas.
Right.
Well, Steve Goldstein, I hate to say this about him, but Steve Goldstein, who gave away the fun-sized candies
yes.
at his house,
right.
went upstairs and said to the salespeople, what was the quote, Rob? It was, this is not what I expect from the number one sales staff.
Right, and also I heard from more than one person, I should say, that he was a little almost welled up with tears because he didn't want to have to stop the fun. And he made everyone go back down to the...
He was welled up with tears.
That's what I heard, that he was, like, emotional in breaking up the party. So it was like, if you feel that bad, just let it go. It was like 4:30.
And, you know, Brad...
Right.
He quit over it.
I heard that. I didn't hear that he quit over that. I heard he quit, but
that's
the reason he quit?
And everyone went downstairs except Tim and I believe Madonna.
Wow.
So can we get Steve Goldstein in here, please?
Let's find out what happened.
Because Jesus Christ, talk about being a Scrooge.
It's the holidays.
I mean, it's one thing to give away, and we kidded him about giving away fun-sized candies.
Yeah, that was a joke. He knew that was a joke. But I'd like to hear everybody's version of what happened. You know, this is a good old-fashioned station controversy. This is fantastic.
What I heard was that, you know, some of the salespeople were upstairs having a drink Friday afternoon.
So the people up at Advantage Title are having their, or whatever the new name of that company is, having their holiday party upstairs.
And
kind of a brunch thing?
No, late afternoon. They had the omelet guy and the margarita guy, and they invited people from the radio station to go upstairs and have a drink.
That's very nice.
Well, Steve went upstairs and apparently laid a speech on them where he said something along the lines of, this is the number one billing station in the market. You're professionals. I expect more from you. Put down your drinks and go back to work. There's money to be made. There's orders to be filled. We have avails on the log. It kills me to say this, but get out of here.
Okay.
Go back to work.
So he did it in such a way, he wasn't a total a-hole. It was an a-hole move, perhaps, but he didn't do it. I mean, when Rob's saying, I don't understand the welling up with tears thing.
That I've not heard from anybody, but the stories that I heard were that he was just an a-hole.
Really?
Just that he was a boss who just came upstairs and said, hey, listen, what are you doing? It's, you know, there's still 20 minutes left in the business day. You could be, you know, making money for the radio station.
Well, let's get to the bottom of this right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Steve Goldstein.
Friend.
Hello, Frankenstein.
Now, have you heard any of this? The
no, I haven't listened at all.
This is,
What, Robbie?
Is he lying, Rob? He's lying.
The first thing he says is that he's swamped, he couldn't possibly get away, and then he says, hold it, let me listen for a second before I come
okay,
in.
So you did
in the interest of valuable airtime, because, you know, people don't want to hear me, they want to hear you guys.
Yeah, they want to hear you.
Your version of the story, 100% accurate.
That you went upstairs.
Absolutely.
You said we're the number one biller.
No, well, you know, I mean, semantics.
You're the number one sales staff. I expect more of you. There's time left. Go out, fill orders, do your job.
Absolutely.
What an a-hole.
Anybody have a problem with that?
I was just applauding for fun. I couldn't help that. I liked it.
What an a-hole you are. And Brad quit over this?
Well, I don't think he quit over that.
Why did he quit?
It wouldn't be professional to comment on that.
No. Does somebody break wind in here?
That's from Broyhill.
Is that from Broyhill? Yeah. All the way out in the hallway from Broyhill?
Yeah.
Wow. Lisa, how you doing? That's hazardous duty.
Charlie's farts today. Don't leave, Steve. Don't leave.
Steve, stay here.
Don't let him go.
It's for the good of the station.
No, you guys. Okay, you can hear. I'm ill. I can't breathe. I couldn't taste my food. Charlie's ass is so rank today. I can not only smell it, I can taste it. Okay? I'm gagging. I have some fruity peppery spray in there. Not working. I'm having to come in here and get your heavy duty citrus spray.
That's the best stuff.
And they're wet ones too. They're
poor girl. Look at it. And she's sick. She's got an awful cold, and she can still smell those farts.
Gross.
I can smell those farts in Russia.
It's coming right through the wall here.
So anyway, Steve.
Yeah, I really can't comment on that. It wouldn't be fair.
But that, I'll just say that...
Could it have been a catalyst?
Right, sure.
Yeah. Mike, the story I heard was that he said, F that. I don't want to work in an environment like this. I quit.
Right.
And then Brad quit.
Okay.
Okay, well, no, you can deny it if
did he, I don't deny that a conversation like that occurred, but
okay.
I don't.
All right. See, I got the right story. Why would you possibly go upstairs on a Friday afternoon and break up a harmless party that at the very best makes good station morale? Would bring your salespeople together. You really think they're going to go out and bill that much in the next 20 to 30 minutes on a Friday afternoon?
My expectation? Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
What an a-hole. Where did you get those cufflinks? Look at those cufflinks.
He's a tough guy.
Love you guys.
What a dick.
He's a tough guy. He is.
Wow.
He is.
What a dickweed.
like that's a revelation?
Yeah, I know, but I've never seen it in its raw form like that.
He is a taskmaster.
Jesus Christ.
He is a total taskmaster. Now, I would love to get, if anybody has the guts, I'd love to get a...
Where's Madonna?
An impartial observer.
Because, well, let me say that Madonna went back upstairs and finished her drink along with Tim McWilliams. They were the two rebels on the same
staff. I'd like to know the timetable. I would like to know the timetable, even though if it was high noon on a Friday and, you know, everybody's been working real hard.
I heard it was late in the afternoon.
Yeah, see, that's... Come on.
And it was like maybe 20 minutes until 5.
And I would like to know that if when he went in there, he did it in such a way as to embarrass the people from the station. That I'd like to know, too. Well, these are little details. Like, if you walk in and you make a loud statement that this is unprofessional, you're not taking people aside and saying, hey, can you come back down and get back to work? You know, that's even different than walking in there and going, you know.
What does he care? It's Friday afternoon.
But you understand what I'm saying, right? That, I mean, it's even different. Oh, here's Madonna. Good, we can go.
Hi, Madonna.
Madonna, are you free to talk about this?
Sure you are. As free as anybody is.
Yeah.
Sure you are. Sure you are, Madonna. You got bigger balls than anybody.
Well, first of all, what time did this this transpire?
Hold on. Charlie Broyles in a
fart. Oh, no, not in here. God, no,
Madonna.
No.
In front of me.
Oh,
Charlie,
God.
Stop it. It already pointed at you, too.
All right, anyway, come on. Let's hear Madonna's story. What happened?
It was about 4:45.
Rob, cover the area over near Madonna, please.
See, look at the timetable, Mike.
Hit me that.
It was quarter till 5?
Quarter till 5, I told you. Someone told me it was like 20 till 5.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Quarter till 5, what a prick.
That is a prick move. I can't defend that. I wasn't trying to defend
that. So he comes up, and what does he say?
See, I didn't hear his conversation with the other salespeople because I was on the phone conducting business because it was 4:45. And, of course, I still had things to do.
Right. Of course.
And, but I got my own lecture, which was very nice. Just that, you know, we should have been busy doing our work.
God, what an a-hole.
You're all grown-ups. You all been here. A lot of you have been here for a long time.
Well, I think in Steve's defense, Steve realized that...
He effed up.
That he overstepped a little bit?
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot of pressure.
A whole bunch. A whole bunch.
What a jerk. What a jerk face. Your salespeople are upstairs, and they're imbibing.
I mean, if that...
Quarter till 5 on Friday.
Quarter till 5, I mean, you know.
No, it was the whole building, not just us.
It was the whole building.
It was the whole building.
Oh, Rob was up there, right, Rob?
Rob was crocked.
Oh, yeah.
Rob was up there since, like, noon.
Rob was... Hey, Rob, what time did the party start? What? Oh, Rob, I didn't know you were an eyewitness to this.
Yeah,
I was there. It started like, Carrie was there, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Because we went out to lunch that day. So I think it started at about 3:30 or 4. And the sales...
That's when it started?
Yeah.
And when they delivered the machine.
Okay.
The margaritas. And then while for the margaritas to get ready.
And then the salespeople showed up about 4:45.
Frozen.
Roughly about 4:30, 4:45, yeah.
And that's when Goldstein goes upstairs and gives them the speech about, you know,
oh my God.
I demand more from you. Go back to your posts.
Well, Steve hasn't been the same since his partner Jacob Marley died.
Jesus Christ. Well, what an a-hole move. Thank you for your testimony, Madonna.
Thanks, Madonna. That's true guts to come in here.
Hey, Madonna, do you remember our embrace at the Christmas party?
Oh,
I'm trying to forget.
Come on. Come on, admit it. You embraced
me. It's the same thing every year. Every year.
But we embrace, though.
You know, I love you. Yeah. Let's get it over with.
All right, get out of here. Get out of here.
She does have balls. I'll tell you
that's
that
what
right
I
now.
Get for trying to be nice to that woman.
Yeah. But respect the woman.
Yeah. I do.
She's got balls.
I do.
I do.
That is, you know, that the timetable to me is everything with that.
Hey, what, 4:45.
What a prick.
Imagine that. You're upstairs, you're just kicking back, having an omelet and having a margarita, and your boss comes up and says, you're professionals, I expect more of you.
I have two thoughts on this. I mean, number one, absolutely, what a prick move that is. Number two, Alan Limewine, I'd start looking over your right shoulder.
Basically, what you're looking at is the last 45 minutes of the last business day of a very successful year.
Yeah.
And that's what he couldn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Happy holidays.
45 minutes.
Basically, that's it.
45 minutes for the number one billing station in the market.
Hey, if you're looking at 9 to 5, it probably sounds like 15 minutes to me.
And, well, Steve, as you know, gets in at 4:45 every morning.
He does. So.
That's right. Jesus, what an a-hole he is.
You low-life scumbag, no good, rotten piece of dead meat. If I were there, I'd bitch slap you right now for doing that to those guys.
What are you talking about, Goldstein?
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Oh, what a scumbag.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Give
Agreed.
Me the product for another show and I ain't gonna buy it.
Agreed. Well, no, come on. Please don't take it out on our sponsors.
No. Oh, no, not on, not your sponsors. But give me somebody on a Sunday morning.
Right. I don't know. I just know there was hatred there, and that was well-placed hatred.
Right.
What a jerk face, though.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Very unfortunate. But I think he got the message, and that's good. That's why we're here.
I expect more of you, because you're all winners. Now put down those drinks and follow me back downstairs to work.
Man, sorry, Brad. Nice guy, Brad.
Yeah, and Brad got so pissed, he went in and said, hey, F you, I quit.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
I got some balls on him.
Man, I think everybody around here works pretty damn hard.
Very hard.
Jesus Christ, they work them like slaves around here. God damn. 15 minutes before 5 o'clock.
Let people let their hair down a little bit.
There
Come
you
on.
Go. Steve Goldstein. I just want to say that's two strikes against Steve Goldstein.
Halloween candy.
The fun-size candy at Halloween.
Right.
You know, I better call him and tell him that. That's two strikes against him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, since he came back to work here, it's been a very affable relationship we've had.
Yeah.
This is Steve.
Steve, it's Don and Mike. That's two strikes now.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
What, Steve? You sound like you're going to say something important.
For the record.
For the record.
For the record.
Yes.
Because I think I'm just getting the crap eaten out of me here.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. For the record.
For the record.
Yes. I mean, you know you always have an open forum on this show.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I overreacted.
Okay.
Well, I did. Then.
All right.
Then and when Madonna said that afterward that she thought that I knew that I overreacted, I pulled every salesperson in the following Monday morning and had that exact conversation individually.
You apologized to them?
Absolutely.
Except those who had quit already.
You know what? Even that guy.
Oh, you spoke to him?
Absolutely.
Is he coming back?
No, he still quit, but...
He still quit?
Yeah.
You really? But you spoke to him Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
You spoke to him before he quit?
Well, you know, after... Yeah, before...
No. Hold on. Did he quit before or after you apologized to him?
Why would I do that? Both.
Oh, so he quit, and then you spoke to him, and he still decided to quit.
Yeah, in so many words.
Right. But you apologized to him for overreacting?
Mm-hmm.
After he quit, though.
After he quit.
Mm-hmm.
And you apologized to how many other people?
But don't get me wrong, it wasn't because of that. It's not because he quit that I said, oh, gee, maybe I ought to apologize. No, I thought about it over the weekend and decided that, you know what? I went upstairs, I overreacted.
Well, then how come when Brad came into your office or wherever this happened, how come you just didn't immediately say, hey, Brad, guess what? I overreacted. I apologize.
Oh, it was all too fresh at the time.
Yeah.
Too fresh at the time.
So no chance of Brad coming back, huh?
Where did he go? Where did he go to work?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. I'm sure you do. What station?
Tell me he hasn't.
He hasn't?
Huh.
I find that hard to believe.
So you ought to go to his house and drive him back here. After you had the conversation, he was pretty much not going to yield? Did he say it wasn't that at any time during that conversation?
It wasn't like, you know, we had a conversation like that. He had made a decision, and I think you kind of, one of the two of you said that, you know, is it that or was that a catalyst?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really makes a decision, well, you know, I want to leave my job because of something like that.
You're right.
It would have to be that.
You had done stuff to piss him off prior to this.
I don't know about that, but...
So he was going to go anyway.
Again, I don't know about that, but
what's all that screaming in the background, Steve?
It's Lisa in the call screening room next to my office.
Oh, it's Lisa trying to screen her telephone calls.
Driving him nuts.
That's Brad Griffin, right?
What was? Yeah.
The guy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm just going to give him a call at home.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye-bye. There he is. What a jerk face. Jesus Christ. Imagine that.
We got to help Brad find a new job.
Absolutely.
Brad's been a good friend of this show.
Very nice.
Booked just a couple of Las Vegas-style shows.
Remember the night Robin made him pay for breakfast?
Yeah, it was nice.
He's all right.
You know, he wouldn't let me, when I came back in the following week, he wouldn't let me give him money for that.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a cool move on his part.
Good guy, Brad Griffin.
Good guy, Brad Griffin. And we used to give Brad a very hard time.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of fun with Brad. I miss Brad.
Hold on a second. He supplied the beverages for Porn's bachelor party.
Oh, did he really?
That's how nice he is.
We can help him out.
Very soft-spoken, mild-mannered most of the time.
Yeah. He's a good sales guy, but he already got another gig.
History of altercations, though, gentlemen. Yeah. I just like to, for the record.
I know.
Just to point out, history of altercations here. There was a battle with Tim McWilliams.
He may have been provoked.
That's true.
Well, yeah, that's right. He got the fist fight with Tim McWilliams.
Just thought, for the record.
Yeah, in fairness.
Right.
However, Tim McWilliams is a noted hothead.
Absolutely. And a noted, he's not exactly a peacemaker.
Was that Brad or was that Tim McCarthy that got in the fist fight?
I think it wasn't a fist fight. I think it was an altercation.
No, it was the fist fight Tim McWilliams got in with Tim McCarthy.
That got a hole in the wall, and they argued at a sales meeting.
Sales meeting couldn't walk down.
Yeah.
Number and detailed message.
All right, let me try a cell phone. Hold on a second.
He's probably out doing business for his brand new radio station.
Or he's, bottom above bottle of scotch.
Hanging from his shower.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
thank you, officer and gentleman.
We are sick.
We can make this right.
Yes.
We can make this right for Brad.
I'll tell you how it would be great if he killed himself. It wouldn't be great because he's a great guy.
Yes. Right. We are.
Because it would haunt Goldstein for at least a couple of days.
About 2 days.
Yeah, until he gets over it.
48 hours.
No.
Maybe he's gone home.
Hi, sorry I missed your call. If you'll leave your name, number, and a detailed message, I will call you back as soon as possible. Thanks and have a great day.
Hey, Brad.
Brad, it's Don and Mike.
Brad, listen, just want to tell you that Steve Goldstein is a jerk face.
And we want to hear your side of the story.
You got some balls. Yeah, you should have been able to have that margarita at 4:45 on Friday afternoon.
Amen.
You're goddamn right. You're a man of morals.
You
stood up for what you believed in.
Call us, Brad, because we want to know if it was just that party or if it was other issues. And whether you'd be interested in coming back to work here.
What else has Goldstein done to you to push you over the edge? Let us know, Brad. We're here for you.
Tim McWilliams sends his best.
My Brad.
Goodbye.
All right, so that's, listen, now we got a break. Because I just had to bring you that latest bit of station scuttlebutt.
I certainly don't think that the door is closed on this matter either. I think that there's more to come.
No, you know what? Hold on. I know we got a break. But let me call Belichick.
Very good.
Because he should be the be-all, end-all on this, right? The GM.
Yeah, he's the top of the heap here. Steve Goldstein works for him.
Alan.
Alan, Don and Mike.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, listen, what can we do to get this Brad Griffin situation worked out?
That's a good question. I think that's up to Steve and Brad, isn't it? I'm not quite sure I want to get in the middle of that.
I know that Steve has just admitted to us and to everybody that he overreacted and made terrible mistakes.
Yeah, he did say that to me, too.
Well, then, don't you think Brad is should be offered the opportunity to join his family at Infinity again?
Well, you don't know necessarily if Brad wants to join his family back.
Yeah, that is true. We do not know that. We're trying to get in touch with Brad. But if he was interested in rejoining the Infinity family at a slightly larger salary, would that be possible?
You're his agent now, huh?
Listen, would you guys take him back?
Is Brad putting you up to this?
No. Listen, I would tell you something. I like Steve fine.
Yeah.
But what a dickhead.
Well,
you know, your salespeople...
For once, I'd like to tell you that I'm very pleased to be
on the outside of this whole scenario.
You know, your salespeople, a week before Christmas, on a Friday afternoon at 4:45,
yeah,
are going to a party at the office next door. He comes upstairs and orders them all to put their drinks down and says, you know, there's still 15 minutes left in the business day.
Wow.
So if Brad wants to come back, he can come back?
I can't answer that.
Are you the general manager?
You're the head honcho.
Let me go check my card.
Hold on. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Should I call Ken?
Oh.
you can call Ken anytime you want. You know that, though.
Well, I mean, you know, we're just trying to figure out where the
I think
are.
He'll lob this hot potato back to me, though, so.
So if he's lobbing it back to you, then is it okay if Brad gets his job back?
Well, see, ultimately it is going to be Steve and Brad's decision. I don't know where it stands at this point, but...
Did Steve specifically indicate to us that, yes, he would like Brad to come back? I don't know. Did we ever get that out of Steve?
No, but I got from Steve that
if he called him in and I apologized even after Brad had quit, that I guess Steve would...
I think they had a lengthy conversation, actually, afterwards. I think it was very cordial.
Why did Brad hate Steve so much?
Oh, I don't know if he hated Steve. I don't think he hated Steve.
Well, so you don't think Brad would come back if, you know, if it was set up that way? I mean, has it been set up that way that, hey, listen, I overreacted, I know you were upset, but please, why don't you come back and work for us? You think that was that the gist of the conversation?
I can't say that was the gist of it, no.
So,
no, but it was very cordial, and I think...
okay.
Yeah. All right, now we got the real truth here. Thank you.
Body
what you guys did, you just fired him and told him don't come back.
No, that's not true. Absolutely not true.
So if Mike and I were to call as official representatives and tell Brad that if he wants the job, he can come back and have it, what would you think?
Would we have to take that up with Goldstein?
I would think he would be a good person to take that up with, because I think he needs to be able to make that decision.
But shouldn't this be an upper management decision?
Well, where would Steve be? Lower management?
Well, no, you're the general manager. Steve Goldstein works for you.
Well, but this is his sales department, correct?
Yes, so, but it is your radio station.
That is correct. That is correct, but I would want my managers to be able to make independent decisions.
Oh, that's the hey. You know, he's giving us the company.
I'll tell you,
that's the way they do it. They do that from the top down.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, but
really
I'll tell you something.
What do you mean they?
That's bull. That's bull, because
you know we've heard it before.
Nobody, but you know what? But none of these guys really get to run their own departments. None of them really do. They don't. It's crap.
Well, that's not true.
No, it's crap. So you tell me, Steve really runs the sales staff? Really? You're totally hands off. You just sit back and twiddle your thumbs all day.
I am always going to be a sales oriented general manager.
All right. So listen, let's be honest.
Let's just give old Brad his job back.
You guys are on the air. I don't have to worry about programming and everything.
Let's just give Brad his job back.
Come on, start the new year. Do something nice.
Give Brad his job back, Alan.
Come on, offer him his job back.
Well, you know, believe it or not, I think Steve and Brad were having a conversation at some point this week. So I don't even know what that conversation entailed. But
I hope it didn't entail any kind of litigation.
No. As a matter of fact, let me backtrack for a second. I believe that conversation is going to take place at some point this week.
I believe the litigation is going to take place due to Charlie Broyhill's farts.
Well, Alan,
this reflects poorly on the entire management team at Infinity.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I've always thought that this is a people first company.
Listen, after we hit our numbers, it's the people first.
God.
All right. Goodbye.
He's as big a dick face as the other guy.
Yeah.
They're the same.
We got to pin Goldstein down, though.
Yeah.
We really do. I mean, if there's one thing that we can affect change here, we can pin Goldstein down.
All right. Very quickly.
I mean, and he's got to be pinned down.
We got to fly like the wind on this now, okay? Because we've got tons of stuff to do today. Hold on. Steve Goldstein.
But, Don, you know, there's plenty of time when you're doing good. When you're doing good for others, indeed.
Steve Goldstein. I just had the stupid phone thing. Oh, there it is.
Get him, Rob.
Go get him.
Get him, boys.
Go get him. Jesus Christ.
He's on the phone with Brad right now.
Please come back. They're raking me over the coals here. Please come back. First it was the fun-sized candies.
No, I'm Scrooge. Please come back.
What's the matter? I overstepped my bounds.
Absolutely. See how he changed his tune? He came in here. like the proud peacock coming in there. Absolutely, I did it.
Yeah, right. He's happy. Fired a guy. I mean, a guy quit. Made a guy quit. But he made a guy quit because he went up and made all the salespeople stop having a drink at quarter till five.
The only thing is, I want to get Brad's stories. If they had a lengthy conversation, I don't, you know, a lot of people leave here. I mean, there's burnout that maybe Brad was just fed up and it wasn't just an excuse to get out of here.
Last straw.
Right. And I'd like to know how many of those last straws were brought on by Ebenezer Goldstein.
Hey, I'm as upset as when Ralph Renzi left, though.
Oh. Scrooge McGoldstein.
More.
Well, he ain't coming home. Oh, no, hold on. Take it back.
All right, we just wanted to pin you down on something, Steve, before we drop this matter.
Is there a chance that Brad could be rehired?
To the two-way street?
From your standpoint, is there a chance Brad could be rehired?
I mean, if Brad said, hey, I really want my job, I'd like my job back. I'd be willing to come back. Would you accept that?
Accept? I don't know.
Why?
Open to a conversation? Definitely.
What would he have to do beyond saying, hey, I want my job back?
This is beyond the scope of anything we talk about on the air.
Well,
there are personnel matters, and it wouldn't be appropriate.
Like the answer, that's a no.
Right, so he can't
have his job
he
back.
He can't have his job back.
It would just be inappropriate to talk about.
Why is it inappropriate? What did he do, rape a baby or something? I mean,
that's disgusting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it. Because it's disgusting. He couldn't have done anything disgusting. Right? He was a sales guy. I mean, what's your bitch with him?
I have no bitch with him.
Then why wouldn't you welcome him back? If you made the mistake and you overreacted, and he quit because you overreacted...
Well, see, that's the thing.
What's the thing?
That's the thing.
Hi, Lisa. What do you need, honey?
Three guesses what I need.
Oh,
the heavy-duty citrus spray. I didn't want to interrupt. I tried to sneak in.
All right. So it's over for Brad. He has no future here.
Not necessarily.
What would it take for Brad to get his job back?
Good question. That's a fair question.
That's between me and Brad.
Oh. What if he brought you some fun-sized candy?
That would help.
All right. We're going to have to talk to Brad.
Yeah.
Steve, I want to tell you something. Your PR today on the show.
Yeah.
Way down low.
Yeah, thumbs down. Thumbs down.
Coming down as a heartless man you are. You know, a bigger man would just say, listen, you've already admitted that you were aired.
Right. Yeah.
So why not just say, hey, you know what? The guy got pissed. I got pissed. Come on back.
Hey, Brad gets on the air and says, hey, I overreacted by quitting. I'd like my job back. You overreacted by going up there. Seems to me it would be a simple matter.
Are there other issues?
Is he a bad earner there, Steve? is there a bottom line situation we're not aware of here?
I don't want to stop the show here. Totally not of interest to the audience.
If this was to drive Brad to suicide, would you apologize to each member of his family on a one-on-one basis? Would you call his mother?
Fortunately, I think he's much more stable than that.
But if, God forbid, we find out that he's hanging from a pole somewhere.
God forbid a million times over. But thankfully, I believe he's pretty stable.
But if he was to commit suicide over this,
would you apologize to his family members?
I wouldn't even want to...
Would you attend the funeral?
I wouldn't even want to go down that road.
Would you attend the funeral?
So I guess the answer is no, you would not attend his funeral.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh,
all right, you're twisting my words.
Would you call his mother, yes or no?
I don't think he would commit suicide, so it's not even a...
Let's say he has.
I'd call his mother if he didn't.
Why?
Just to say hello. If he wanted me to call her, I'd call her.
Okay. Yeah, that's what... And what mother doesn't want to give that around the Happy New Year?
Hi, Mom!
Hello, Mrs. Griffin!
Would you prepare and deliver the eulogy at his funeral?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
All right. That blood's on your hands.
There you go.
Okay. No blood on my hands.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Keep believing that. All right, Steve. Bye, Steve.
They're loving you back there now.
That's Rob doing the sound of a body hanging.
Well, you know what? Hopefully, this will all get back to Brad, and he'll call us up.
And even if his plans don't involve this radio station, hopefully, this will get back to him, and hopefully, it'll give him a smile.
And surely, if no one calls him, he's at least looking down on it.
Yeah, right, if he did, in fact, kill himself. We will, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What makes you all so sure Godzilla is dead? The
mayors of Connyland, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, here we are.
Oh, yes.
We got to make this a quick break.
Just so long, they were the evil Steve Goldstein.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hobo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Hobo Joe here.
Oh, Hobo Joe.
Hey, boys. Happy New Year to you all.
Hobo Joe, of course, with his website, homojoe.com. I urge everyone to check that out. Also, forgot to mention this today. Please go to Playboy.com and vote for Hannah Storm.
Yeah, we want to see if we can get her moved up on the pecking order.
I logged on that site today, and she is mired in third place.
Wow. Still in third place, even after you implored everybody to vote yesterday.
Yeah, she only got like 1,000 votes yesterday.
Yeah, it's one of those things that needs constant attention.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people probably, when we first talked about it 3 weeks ago, went on, voted, told their friends about it. It was a funny goof. Right. I mean, I had a conversation yesterday with Rudy Martsky, you know, who's on the show all the time from USA Today, saying that the people from Playboy had called him because they were astounded that Hannah Storm had zoomed up to nearly first place, and they wanted Rudy to write a story about it.
Did he give us our props?
Rudy will give us our props after the final vote tally is done. Uh-huh.
Very good.
So either way, we're going to be in Rudy's column, and of course, with thanks to everyone who listens to the show, but wouldn't it be great if Hannah Storm, who, listen, is a very nice lady and is a friend of the show, but by no stretch of the imagination is the sexiest sportscaster on TV.
No, we thought it'd be interesting to see if we could get her up to number one, though, and manipulate the survey. That's what we're trying to do.
So, everybody, please, if you don't have anything else to do tonight, go to Playboy.com, go to Sexiest Sportscasters, and click on Hannah Storm, and let's see if we can pull her up. Buzz, why don't you go to that website now, and we'll talk to Homosexual Joseph here.
I'll do it. So, Donna Mike.
Yes?
I wanted to know if you wanted to do something new this year with me. I was thinking maybe a night out with Homo Joe and just do different type of things, going to different type of bars and different type of activities.
With a girl?
With guys or girls and just take them to the gate and record it live. Back to you guys.
Joe, we'll have plenty of assignments for you in this coming year.
And the other thing I was thinking about, going down to the inaugural parade and interview everybody about the Gore inaugural parade and see what they think about that.
I'll tell you, that's a perfect assignment.
Now, that's a great idea.
In fact, you should be our number one reporter at the Bush inaugural parade. Those are your kind of people down there.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What? And Joe, as a matter of fact, I will call some of those Republican yahoos who signed me up to be the secret double agent.
That's right.
And see if I can actually swing some kind of a press credential for you.
Get them some credentials. And I'll do a great job for you guys.
Not only the parade, you should go to all the balls.
Yeah. There you go.
Very important.
Get my ball gown.
Joe loves a good ball.
Absolutely. We want you to go to the best ball. All of all.
Hey, Don, I think Steve doesn't measure up on my homo measure, you know, for that stunt he pulled for New Year's Eve.
Steve Goldstein? What do you mean on your homo measure?
You know, he doesn't measure up down there, and that's probably why he's taking all that power.
You think it's all related to penis size?
Yeah, right, I think it's penis envy type things. I mean, he doesn't have it, so that's what his problem is.
Got you. All right, Homo Joe, well, listen, actually, that ends up being a great idea that you covered the inaugural for us, and I feel like I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, so God.
Let me put you... Hold on.
Could this be Lisa's illness that she's spreading?
I don't know. I just made love to her 2 hours ago. I mean, could I catch it that fast?
I don't know. You probably could.
Don't bust a stitch.
Nope.
Is it gone?
It's gone.
There you go.
All right.
I prayed for you so it wouldn't hurt.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Have a great guys.
Bye-bye.
That's what he says before he takes his young friends.
I pray for
you so it won't hurt.
Before he has butt sex.
That's it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Especially the new one.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to know, does Homo Joe do a drag show at Chaos or what?
What, is Chaos a gay club?
Yeah.
I don't think he does drag.
He doesn't do drag.
He doesn't like drag.
He likes it. He just doesn't like to be in the outfit. Doesn't like to participate.
Right.
Because I was there a couple of weeks ago, and there's this guy who sounded exactly like him.
Oh, that's unusual.
Big, huge, and had a horrible wig on.
Well, the big and huge, yes, that's Homo Joe. Horrible wig, I don't know. Oh. All right, thank you, my friend.
Donner, cool.
It's amazing that he'd be at a gay club and there'd be somebody that sounded like Homo Joe.
Hello, Don and Mike show. There you go again, Mike, stereotyping.
I know, I'm horrible.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
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 You guys
are taking advice from Homo Joe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't have him make up ideas. I thought only you guys had
He didn't make
ideas.
Up an idea.
And then he hangs up.
Then he hangs up. Well, he just doesn't like fags. Hello, Don and Mike show.
But
I do.
Like my brothers.
I love fags.
So do hey. I.
We all do.
Hello.
Goldstein just bought a new house. Paid $600,000-$700,000. He bought it from the company I work for. I know where he lives. And
oh,
I,
hey.
Hold on.
Listen. Hold on.
What?
Why, without giving out any information.
Yes, sir.
Are you kidding me that Steve Goldstein lives in a $700,000 house?
Hell no, with all the options he bought, and what a prick when it came to every little teeny detail.
Bet
when
he
did we do the 1 year walkthrough with him?
Wow. So you actually took Steve Goldstein on his walkthrough?
He hasn't done the final walkthrough. You get a 6 month and a 1 year walkthrough.
Sir, I don't know.
Everything settles.
I don't know what your position is in the company or was.
But you are so fired. Do you know, has he paid in $1 bills?
No, he's got a mortgage payment. You don't have that kind of money.
No, I meant like the down payment.
Oh, I don't know the actual dollar amount. I'm in the construction end of it, not the paper pushing end.
All right, but from your standpoint, did I hear you say correctly that Steve's been a real tough guy to work with?
Oh, my God. What a little bitch. I think that's the best word I can think of.
Why? What is the complaint of some of the...
I mean, just every little teeny detail. New construction, you have little things all over the place, and he wants every little teeny thing taken care of, you know, by one specific person, and he will call you and hound you and hound you and hound you. And in fact, he calls from work. I don't know how he gets any goddamn work done.
Has he ever called you personally?
I can't answer that one.
Well, come on.
I have spoken to him personally, yes. And he is a nightmare.
Hold on, please.
Yes, sir.
Go get him.
Go get him.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Go get him.
Here comes Steve right now.
Excuse me.
Hold on. Bought a resale.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Wait, Steve. Steve, don't go anywhere.
He bought a resale.
Hey.
He bought a resale?
Yes.
He bought a resale.
You don't get warranties on resale houses. Now, what kind of resale is he talking about? A model?
Hold on. You can't drop the...
I'm sorry.
You can't drop the S-bomb. Thank you.
He's saying he didn't buy a new construction, sir.
What did he say he bought? I'll send you the address. We can all go over gladly.
Perhaps you would have another Steve Goldstein.
Yes, it is a common name.
No, because I remember asking him specifically. This was right after the Halloween incident when y'all were complaining about the candy bar size.
Steve, will you help us out here, please, so we can finish this guy off here?
I mean, if this guy's on the level...
Don't just run in here and say you bought a resale. We'll get rid of him, but if it's true, if you bought a resale, this guy's saying you bought a new construction... Help us out, Steve.
Are you saying
we've been helping you out all day?
Are you saying the house is new or was it a resale?
I'm saying it was new.
So basically you're doing the construction work on it.
It's done. He's already living in it.
And he just came in and said he bought a resale.
All right.
What is his definition of
hold
resale?
Hold on a moment.
Here he comes.
Here he is now. Hi, Steve.
All right.
Hi.
I have no idea who this guy is.
But.
There's no but. Who are you?
Oh, well, I'm not telling you who
I
am.
You know what you should do? At the very least, you should give out your first name. You have called and you have said a price of a house.
P-A-U-L, Paul.
Paul.
Steve, did you build a house or did you buy a resale?
I bought a resale.
So you didn't buy...
I bought a two-year-old house.
He said, wait, sir.
Hey, shut up for a second. He said he bought a two-year-old house.
What?
He said he bought a two-year-old house.
Two-year-old houses do not come with full manufacturer warranty. Ask him who the builder he bought it to
was.
He didn't buy it to a real estate agent.
All right, you know what? Hold on. There's one easy way to take care of this.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Steve.
Yeah.
Rob, pick up line 3.
Yeah, we'll do this off air.
Off the air.
Absolutely.
And ask the guy information about Steve, like where the house is located.
Right. We'll find out.
And then we'll just hold it up for you, Steve, and you can tell us if he's true or not.
Okay.
Are you having a good day, Steve?
How you doing, Steve?
I'm fine.
Steve, you shouldn't have fired Brad.
He handles
Fire
the...
Fire Brad. Have you ever been to the house?
What?
Is the guy hedging, Ron?
He says he doesn't have the address in front of him.
Oh,
how convenient.
Come on. All right, you're excused.
You're off.
You're off the hook, Steve.
This ween.
You're off the hook.
There's a jerk.
Jesus Christ.
Rob's handling him.
All right, listen, Dick. Thanks for calling.
You know,
a-hole.
Right.
I don't mind if someone wants to call up and, you know, pile on Goldstein, but...
Yeah, I mean, if it's legit...
Be honest, man. Hello, Don and Mike.
Unbelievable.
Show.
Don.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Jason from Baltimore.
Hi, Jason.
I just wanted to comment. The other day, popular Baltimore morning show was commenting on how they couldn't believe what the...
survey result of the Playboy survey was. And they went on for like 20 minutes on how they could not believe what the results were.
That's pretty funny.
This was right after you guys had gone through that whole thing where, you know, getting people to vote and everything. They went on for hours about that.
What was it, 98 Rock?
Yeah.
Screw them.
I wonder if Marty Bass was talking about it, too.
Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Marty. This is a chance for me to say Marty Bass.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops. Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm from Baltimore, so I know when you goof on Marty Bass, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Goofing on Marty Bass is the most fun thing in the whole wide world.
Oh, hey, everybody, this is Marty Bass.
Their morning show is the absolute worst.
With your first morning weather.
First morning weather here in Dundalk.
Huh? Hello, I'm Marty Bass on the streets of Tampa. How about those Ravens?
Oh, my gosh. But first of all, I wanted to say that I have a cold, and I can smell Charlie's ass from here, so I know you guys have to be dying in the studio.
Gotcha.
And secondly, I have a secret song that I'd like you to try and guess what it is.
All right, very quickly, go ahead.
Very quickly, check it out.
Since we had a winner today with our first secret song.
Yeah.
Is it Elvis?
I think it's Welcome to My World sped up and backwards.
What do you think?
Is it Elvis?
No.
You got
do it. Spin it backwards, but do it slower.
Backwards and slower.
I mean, we'll do what you were doing, just do it slower.
Well, it's on the computer. But I'd have to slow it down on the computer. I'll play it again for you. Check it out.
All right.
Check it out.
Check it out. It's not a real song. It's like a theme or something, isn't it?
No, it's a real song. He's a friend of yours.
Is it Jerry Reed?
It is Jerry Reed. Here it is forwards. Check this out.
There is sunlight. She's all right with me. Pretty Mary Sunlight.
How in the name of get Jerry Reed?
Hold on, listen.
Vintage Scooby-Doo, Jerry Reed episode.
It's the theme to Scooby-Doo?
No, it's a song that Jerry Reed performed on Scooby-Doo.
He was on Scooby-Doo.
All right, well, listen.
Hold on a second. I have never seen your brain work better.
First off, kudos to Rob.
It's a song on Scooby-Doo that Jerry Reed performed.
I like Scooby-Doo. But if you're going to call with a secret song, it's got to be a mainstream hit song.
God, if you could put that to good use.
I apologize for not knowing a policewoman's last name, but I hope this somehow rectifies that.
Awesome. That is amazing,
that
Rob.
That is truly awesome, Rob.
That is absolutely freaking amazing. I almost just said the real one.
You got it backwards, a song performed on a cartoon.
One time by Jerry Reed. On Scooby-Doo.
Pardon me while my jaw hits the floor.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
By the way, that sounded like Bob Dylan. Jerry Reed backwards sounded like Bob Dylan.
Right.
Anywho, celebrity sighting. I was on a cruise. I saw Meadow Soprano.
Wow.
I went up to her and I said, when are you going to be on the Don and Mike show? They said, who?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. At least he went up and said something.
Appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I got a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Regularity in bowel movements.
I'm for them.
Okay, let me get...
Thank you for the call.
That's good. You're going to be on the... when you run for Congress, that'll be on your platform.
All right, then. I'm pro-regularity.
In BMs.
We got a break. We'll be right back. Speaking of BMs, it's coming up next with movies and HBO Mail.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
Clown porn aficionados, Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, we had a big secret song winner today.
Yeah.
Guy named Sean from Virginia. He got the secret song. It was Can't Get Enough by Bad Company.
Right.
It was on Can't Get Enough of Your Love. He got it. First day of the contest. That's a pisser.
Yeah. Right.
We'll have a brand new secret song for you tomorrow. Joining us now, for the first time in the year 2001, movie man Chuck Stossel.
Howdy, Chuck. How were your holidays?
They were great. Good to see you.
Happy New Year, Charlie.
You guys, I'm glad to see you got through your ordeal.
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
Not a problem.
Good job.
Charlie, before we talk about movies, which is why you're here.
In theory.
We have mail.
And a package, I understand. Do we have the bucket of water?
And a package. Let's start with the mail.
Look at the mail you are receiving, Charlie Stasso.
Well, we've been gone for a few weeks, remember.
You know what?
It's true.
Ask Mike. Today up in the office.
Right.
You are simply getting the mail now from the guys whose names I recognize. Today we had, I ask you not, 7 different inmates from around America who are sending you mail, including, what was the thing with the menu of stuff that
there was
a buy?
Menu where from a Maryland prison where it was the additional items you can get to your dinner time with like an Almond Joy on there and buffalo wings where it's like a punch card. The Chads were knocked out where the prisoner could have the items added to his meal at his own expense.
Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe I got a write-in vote.
No. Are you sick too?
I was. Yeah,
everybody's sick.
Yeah.
My God. Are you farting like Charlie?
No.
Royal?
No. This is what's going on in that other room is I hope it doesn't cling to me.
Very
I'm
good.
Concerned that when I leave, it's going to just cling to me.
All right, Charlie. And listen, I do want to yell at you about Castaway.
We didn't talk about Castaway.
I know we never talked about it, but I'm
going to yell at me.
But I'm sure I know your position on Castaway, and I'm sure I know your position on
What
Women Want. I saw both of them. Let me see. First, the letter from Scott Breeze.
Ah, very good. Scott Breeze, who's still in the joint, right?
Shocker.
Starts with a personal letter to me that says, not for broadcast, but I will read it to you anyway.
Oh, dear.
Don, remember, it's all just in fun. Don't let Mike freak out and call the parole board. I don't really want to move in with him.
Very good.
Well, I kind of do, but he'd have to give up the biggest bedroom or add on to the garage. Do the O'Meara's get cable? Merry Christmas, Scott.
Thank you for reading that.
Thank you for reading that, Scott.
Dear Charlize, you did it again. A real double-barrel 12-gauge blast of the kneecaps this time. Not only do you give away the end of Proof of Life, but you absolutely blow off my latest comic book. So the heroine
You know what I like about that movie? It's got a good heroine.
Heroine.
It would have been worse if he said heroine, you know.
Heroine.
It's tough writing.
Falls in love with her husband's rescuer in the end of Proof of Life. No need to go see that.
No one else did.
Watch the trailer and use Charlie Stossel's movie review to imagine the ending. Hey, you just saved everybody $10. Well, get this. At the end of Hannibal, the heroine sits down to a formal dinner with Dr. Lecter, and they eat her boss's brain.
I know. I read the book.
While he's still alive. Then they run off to Rio together.
He's farting.
To live happily ever after.
Did he come in here to do that?
He's been bouncing. Like, he's been afraid that it wasn't going to happen. So he's like going like this. He says, here it comes. Wait for it.
You know, to describe Charlie Broyhill's farts today is beyond verbalization.
Beyond the word I can use is unhealthy.
Yeah, you know what? I spend a lot of time behind your ass.
Spray more of that,
Don,
please.
I spend a lot of time with Broyhill in the office, and this is not like, not when you stop at Taco Bell on Route 50. This is very different than anything, and it's like eggs and vinegar.
Yeah. Can we get that guy to send us more of that stuff?
I'll call him.
Yeah. All right. All right, anyway.
Xavier, Mr. Xavier at 1-800-543-4379.
Please. Send us some now.
Some citrus spray, please.
They run off.
It'll get there.
They run off to Rio together to live happily ever after. Ha, take that movie, man. How does it feel? You've just been sixth-sensed. Bruce Willis is dead. Charlize eats her boss. All is right with the world. But Charlize, my comic book, my pièce de résistance, my masterpiece of humor, my special one-of-a-kind autographed edition, you just blew by it like it was nothing.
No, I enjoyed the comic book.
Trash. Do you know how many days that took for me to make? 4 days of working all night. 4 days of hiding from the guards during the rounds. A pack of smokes for the paper. A pack of smokes for the black pen. Do you know what they'll do to me if I get caught in here with a black pen? Only the guards can have black pens. Oh, you never noticed that I only write in blue ink, huh? What, do you think blue is my favorite color or something? So the comic book had a picture of you as a naked baby. Oh, that's obscene.
and the turgid priest with you is an altar boy? Come on, like you never got it after choir practice.
Oh, God,
like you,
hostile.
Like you never had to sleep in the scoutmaster's tent. Let's get real, Stossel. I was trying to help people understand why you are the way you are. It's not all your fault, Charlie. We're all the product of our genes and upbringing, right? A guy like you is like a frog on a fence post. You know where you are, but you also know you didn't get there by yourself.
Oh, God.
I understand you. I dig you, man. We're simpatico, amigo. Do you think I wanted to eat those people? I understand compulsion. People like me, and you are the only, and are the only true people. And are the only truly free people.
People like me are the only true free people?
People like me and you are the only true free people.
All right.
We do the things that other people only dream about in their darkest fantasies.
Oh, dear.
You're Mr. Bubble. I'm Buffalo Bill.
Oh, God.
That's okay, man. Why am I Buffalo Bill? Because I skin my humps.
Oh, no.
We've both got this alter ego thing going.
Oh,
our evil
dark
twins did the bad stuff, right?
Oh, God.
You wash boys?
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Charlie's getting mad now. That pushed his button right there.
I wear body suits and make lampshades with cadaver skin.
You know, in Castaway, he gets off the island.
Oh, wow. There you go.
It's all good fun, my friend. Celebrate diversity. Just be you, Mr. Bubble. P.S. Mike, please see enclosure. Please fill out the bottom half with your name, address, and phone number. And as you can see, Mike, it's a Correctional Corporation of America resident request slip. And when he gets out of jail, he has written, upon release, I will be living with Mr. and Mrs. Mike O'Mara's family. Please see the record reflected for my parole hearing. The O'Mara address will be provided shortly after compliance with the Virginia Violent Offender Neighborhood Notification.
Oh, my. All right. That's enough.
Okay.
Let me see. For you.
I'm saving that one.
You know, that's the first.
That's for your file.
That's the first one I've decided to file.
Remember, he had a disclaimer.
Yes, he did.
He had a disclaimer.
Those disclaimers get lost.
And Charlie, send another comic book.
Oh, good. More artwork.
The Common Stossel. It's preparation and cooking.
Oh, oh dear.
Another special edition for my friend, Chuck Stossel. And I won't even go through the pages where he's cutting your feet off and cutting your head off with a meat cleaver.
Oh, dear.
And a mallet for your head.
Oh, dear.
And here's where he's got your nuts in a paper bag.
Wow, that's a lot of nuts.
He's putting them into the refrigerator. Here you go. That's
thank you, Doc.
That's for you.
Right. Wow.
Now, from your other favorite inmate, you have this. The letter in a package. And the letter says...
Is this from the Kansas guy?
Nope, this is...
The C-H-A-R-L, the guy who spells the name with an I.
The angry, innocent white prisoner, David Xavier. Dear Don and Mike, given the response to last week's letter, I've decided to drop my storyline regarding Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Remember, he started to write stories about Rob and hate crime?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Even with my disclaimer, I could see you guys weren't comfortable with it. Therefore, in the same way that both Jason Therefore, in the same way that both Jason and Freddie returned from the dead, I return now to
Charlie. He knows how to make us happy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really
and I
does.
Love, he spells Charlie's name C-H-A-R-L-I.
It's Charlie.
So here is chapter one of Santa's Bitch, the new Charlie. Okay.
You doing a little editing there?
Well, no, I'm reading. He's got like a million different things.
The ramblings of the modern prisoner.
Yes, well, they've got a lot of time on there. Inmate.
Don, please enclose find the Green Bay Packers Santa ad that I read in the newspaper.
These guys are going. Yeah, it's the holidays. Yeah.
As a goof for the show, I am planning on having my name legally change to Ken Stevens. If you like this idea, I will submit it to the court immediately. Lisa, whenever I hear your voice, I grab my beach towel and my wet thing.
Oh, dear.
Lastly, if a website is made regarding my wrongful imprisonment, will you guys give it a free plug? Anyway, signed, David Xavier, angry, innocent, white prisoner. And he also got... a letter from Bob Levy.
Hey!
He got
Oh, really? Bob Levy responded to him?
Wow.
Remember when
Bob Levy, the columnist from the Washington Post, who trashed us one time in his column a couple of months ago?
Absolutely.
David Xavier, this guy in
prison. Wrote him a nasty letter, right?
Yes, and here's what it says.
I wonder if it's the same tone of the ones I get.
Actually, the letter is from Donald Graham, chairman of the board, Washington Post.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's too funny.
Dear Mr. Xavier, thank you for your letter regarding Bob Levy's Washington column that featured a mention of the Don and Mike show. I can't say that I find the comment you object to particularly out of bounds for a column of the nature of Bob Levy's Washington, but I certainly respect your right to disagree. In any case, I appreciate your interest in the Washington Post.
Hey!
And thank you for writing.
That's amazing. Good. Give him a round of applause. It got all the way up to the top. Hey, but there you go. There's the tone, too. There's the post.
All right. So now here is the a very brief story about Charlie Stossel.
Very good. This is a Christmas story, right?
Satan's Bitch, The New Charlie, Chapter 1. Arriving in hell, Charlie was surprised that she was placed in a separate room, other than all the other new arrivals. First, she found herself in a large group of attorneys, program directors, and Chicago Bears fans.
Oh, dear.
But then she was herded to a separate room by a short, naked man. After a short wait, Lucifer himself entered. Well, look who finally made it. I've waited with great anticipation for this moment. Charlie started to speak, but before he could utter a single word, Lucifer grabbed him, bent Charlie over, and
oh, dear.
Roughly took Charlie anally.
Ooh,
oh, God.
Merry Christmas.
Bathtub boy screamed in pain.
Oh,
Satan's bulbous wet thing.
Oh, God.
Felt like a branding iron inside Charlie.
What else would it feel like, huh?
Oh, my God.
Satan pumped and rode Charlie for what seemed to be eternity.
I don't like this letter.
The small room smelled of brimstone, sulfur, and... Oh, jeez.
Broiled farts.
Oh, my God. Shortly after Satan left Charlie, he felt something move inside his stomach. At first, Charlie thought it was gas, but little did he know that she was now pregnant with a son of Lucifer.
That was quick.
Okay, that's the...
Oh,
that's it, huh?
He was hanging.
Wow. And then he sent a package.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Did you open the packet? Oh.
I'm opening it right now.
There's Charlie. Mistletoe.
Yeah.
Vaseline.
Hold on. First, let me go to the explanation.
Oh, good. Oh,
giant please. Envelope.
This is a very, very busy inmate.
With our names on it. Don and Mike.
What is this?
I don't want to know.
That's not a trace job.
It's an ode to Lisa.
Oh, it's for her.
Lisa drew a picture of his penis.
Silhouette.
Lisa's voice is so fine, it reminds me of smooth wine. Her body is so tight and sleek. It's such a hot and sexy thing. She makes my... member open up
oh my.
I listen to Lisa on the Don and Mike show. Her voice is a dreamy flow. My only question, why doesn't she swallow?
Oh dear.
Was there a picture on the back there?
Yeah, like,
there's a photograph, Don. Somebody standing
is
next to a motorcycle.
Him?
Maybe that's him. You guys want that for your records?
Let me look at
that. You might need it. I might need it.
There you go. I think it's a picture of him. It appears to be glued, no taped.
That's not glue.
I hope that's glue.
There you go.
Oh.
All right. Also, what we have, Dear Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah. He's not guilty.
This is the interesting package I promised to send Bathtub Stossel. Enclosed for Charlie are the following items. The men in here asked me to pass on this tub of white petroleum jelly.
Mm.
On the label it reads, guaranteed pure for general use. There you go, Charlie. Apparently
Thank
that's
you.
Prison issue.
Thank you, Doc.
Also for Charlie.
Yeah.
Wow.
A pair of my dirty underpants.
Yeah. Those things in
a plastic bag.
I choose not to receive that.
If you look closely, you can see they are used.
No,
they are. A little sprig of holly on the outside.
Get it off.
A plastic glove containing mayonnaise packets, and Q-tips.
Oh, God.
Again, why he is sending...
Oh,
here you go, Charlie.
Gross.
Here's your plastic glove that has mayonnaise and Q-tips.
Lovely.
Lastly, I've enclosed a love poem for Lisa. The silhouette shows my state of mind when I think of her.
Sure.
Does it impress you? Sincerely yours, David Xavier. P.S. Don and Mike, if you watch Channel 7 in the morning, I think you'll agree that there seems to be sexual tension between Carol Costello and Alexandra Steele.
Wow.
Wow, Charlie, that is an all-star.
How did this blow from the merge with the 270 spur down?
Wow.
That is an all-star selection of mail today.
Okay. You must feel very privileged.
I feel something. I don't know what.
God damn.
Wow.
God damn it, Charlie.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff from inmates.
Feel a little ooze.
Yeah, a little oogie.
They love you, Charlie.
You didn't get Don. No, Don didn't take a really good look at that picture. That picture of the guy on the motorcycle.
Pass it over. Do you guys have it?
Do you have it? Oh, it's in the, it's under
away?
The glove.
All right, let me see it. Sure, let me see the guy.
Good guy.
Yeah. Scary he looks. He looks pretty scared.
He does, yes. That's what I wanted you to see.
He's a pretty scary looking individual.
Yeah, big time.
That's the guy who's writing all the mail, I guess, to Charlie.
That looks like an old photograph.
A little bit like David Arquette.
Yeah. Well, there's a problem.
A little David Arquette in him.
All right, well, Charlie, listen, I know you're not here simply to answer your fan mail from from convicts. Please stand by. We'll come back. We'll talk movies with the Mother Chucker right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
Just like four solid hours of prostate manipulation.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, movie man Charlie Stossel is here. Charlie, what's new this weekend in the theaters?
Pretty much only one movie that gets released wide that's already in New York and L.A. This is Traffic.
Oh, man, I want to see this.
Michael Douglas, Catherine Rayta Jones.
Rayta.
Dennis Quaid is in this picture. Benicio Del Toro, Stephen Bauer. A great cast, done by Steven Soderbergh, who did Aaron Brockovich. That's the last one we did. Also did a movie you like, Out of Sight.
Oh, the George Clooney movie.
Clooney film from a few summers ago.
Right.
This deals with three different stories, but mainly it deals with the drug trafficking that happens in this country. And almost in a documentary way shows how we fight it. We being, you know, like the United States fights drugs coming into this country and how futile this actually is. That it's not that hard to get whatever you'd want, wherever you want, and how one man's ambition, Michael Douglas in this case, who becomes the United States drug czar, he's a Supreme Court justice in Ohio, gets appointed by the president, but is so gung-ho on stopping this, it's too big for him.
And for a change, Michael Douglas doesn't play the role he's played like in his last 10 movies, which is just the rich, arrogant prick guy, right?
No, no, no. He has enough problems at home, which you'll find out as the movie goes on. But there are other stories there. There's the story involving Don Cheadle, who is trying to get the drug lord played by Stephen Bauer, who people might know from Pacino movie. Oh, crap. The violent one. Scarface. He's the one that Al Pacino kills.
Oh, you mean the good-looking guy?
Yeah,
the tall, good-looking guy?
Who married to his sister.
The Latin lover type?
Gets very angry with him.
He was gorgeous. In Scarface.
Dreamy.
I loved him.
You've got that angle where...
Wasn't Don Cheadle in Boogie Nights, too?
Yes, he was. And Picket Fences from TV Work.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
And it's Family Man, a fine Christmas holiday feature this past few weeks.
Which I bet you loved.
I did like Family Man.
Of course you did. You know what I wanted to ask you about, though? I know you're in the middle of this review.
That's okay.
But the one with Kevin Costner, is this another Kevin Costner accent?
13 Days?
Yeah, 13 Days, where he's trying to do the Kennedy, Massachusetts accent. And just I've seen two trailers. He's done it again, hasn't he, where he just walks all over the accent?
He plays an advisor to the president, but it's not his movie. He's in there, but, I mean, he's being billed in it, but it's really not his movie as much as it is the guy, this Greenwood guy who plays Kennedy in the film.
Okay.
And the guy who plays Kennedy, he's like a two-bit actor. He was in the movie with Ashley Judd. Double Jeopardy?
Jeopardy? Yeah, he was the husband.
Remember, he's the guy who killed Ashley Judd and then moved to New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's always been like a, you know, a second-tier actor.
Yeah,
right.
Middle-tier guy who gets his big breakthrough in this film.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't open nationally for another week, right?
Well, no, okay. It's already in, again, New York, L.A. it'll open nationally next weekend.
All right, well, what about
but
traffic?
With traffic, you have that story. Then you have another, and Catherine Zeta-Jones, you couldn't be more airheaded as to what's going on in this world. Again, you like Dennis Quaid. He's in this. It's very well done. Some NYPD blue-type photography. I know you're not crazy.
I don't like the shaky camera.
There's some shaky camera in the film. But at 2 hours and 45 minutes, it flew right through one of the top five movies I've seen this year.
Wow. How many porcelain dolls?
3.5.
3.5. So that's a range.
Yeah, it's very, very, very good. Very well done. And just it's done from a point of view that in the end you just sit back and go, geez, give it up. What can we do to help this problem?
If you had to pick one of the three, Family Man, Castaway, or that Mel Gibson movie that Dom was talking about, what's that one called?
The What Women Want.
Which of the three would you say is the must-see?
Depends if you're going by yourself. Are you going with a date?
No. Just I want to.
Okay,
your opinion.
Castaway, What Women Want, The Family Man.
I did laugh a lot with What Women Want.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm very surprised.
I laughed.
Now,
although Castaway for acting with Tom Hanks and that isolationist, how they make him look very isolated on the island with Wilson, I think Castaway on
But you are picking the Mel Gibson movie first.
Listen, I must offer my thoughts here because I saw both the movies.
Yes, you have seen both movies, which is an insight normally we don't get.
Yes.
Because we don't review movies anymore.
Castaway.
Yeah.
A novel concept. I'll give you this. Tom Hanks is an adequate actor. He ain't no Jimmy Stewart. He ain't no Cary Grant. And frankly, beyond the part where the plane crashes, which is spectacular, that part of the movie is great. It's highly overrated. When people say you will leave the theater awestruck, you will leave the theater thinking about this. I want to tell you something. The stuff when he's on the island, it's boring as crap. Yeah,
this is where the movie is not for everybody, and I said this to friends going in before they went to see it. You're going to have Tom Hanks alone, no music, no dialogue, getting the volleyball, and it's just him. And this movie is not on the island for 20 minutes. This is...
It's an hour and
a half. An hour and a half, 2 hours on the island.
And listen, don't be fooled by that either, Mike, because I know you're going to go see it this weekend. It's not an hour and a half of silence. Tom Hanks does plenty of talking. He just talks to himself,
yeah.
And he talks to the volleyball.
You know, there's a movie that's ancient, and I don't know if either one of you guys have ever seen it. You mentioned Cary Grant before, but it's called Father Goose, and I don't know if you're familiar with that movie, and it's Cary Grant, who's a spotter during World War II. I love the whole theme of the deserted guy, the single guy on the island, and I don't detect the real passion from you. You're kind of approaching the fence on this movie. Right, it's not as bad as some of the other ones that we have both hated. Right,
I didn't hate it like
so I'm not
going to
walk in.
If you took a half hour of him off the island, would you have liked it better?
Yeah, and like I told you, it's not his worst. It's just I'm tired of reading all the crap with people saying it's the movie of the year. It's awesome.
And that's the kind of press he seems to get.
I don't think it's the movie of the year. I could name five or six movies I think are a heck of a lot better.
But listen. As much as I am here to trash Castaway, and I don't think it was great.
Like What Women Want.
What Women Want. Frieda and I had a discussion. For a long time in our house, the worst movie we'd ever seen collectively was You've Got Mail.
Go see Battlefield Earth.
We decided that What Women Want is worse than You've Got Mail.
Well, Don, you know, like I said with The Grinch, which has made almost $300 million so far, with What Women Want, America seems to agree,
but Charlie,
it's me.
In a movie,
getting the glare.
I'll tell you,
hour into a movie, when they're so out of scripts, when they're so out of well, hell, 10 minutes into the movie,
I think it gets,
when Mel Gibson has to dance with a hat stand when he's being Frank
doing
Sinatra,
the Sinatra thing,
and an hour later when his daughter's trying on the prom dresses, and it's 20 shots in a row, quick clips of her coming out in a new dress, Mel Gibson feigning, you know, pretending he's going to fall asleep. He's got his hands over his face while they're playing What a Girl Wants,
right.
What a Girl Needs. I mean, freaking predictable.
But you can take stuff like that in the movie, and I thought the end was a little hokey when all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to save the one girl.
Did you see the end, Don?
No.
Oh.
but hold on, listen.
No, that's because the movie sucked so much he walked out.
And it wasn't my call. I was there. Frieda had been taking great care of me. I got out of the hospital on a pass to go to a movie. Okay, the movie, the hospital,
movie theater, to get out on a pass, to get out and go to a movie. She'd been so great, I said, whatever movie you want to see. She wants to see this dumb goddamn What Women Want. We were in there for an hour, and she leaned over and she said, do you like this movie? And I said, no. And she said, let's go. And as we walked out...
You sure she wasn't doing that for you because you just had surgery and she knew that you hated that particular type of movie? Yeah, I brought this one on.
Listen to a woman tell you what was wrong with that movie.
Wishy wishy.
Hola.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, let me talk to Mom.
Okay.
Chop chop, though, please. You'll hear it from her. It was not my prompt.
She's coming.
It was not my prompting. I was there for her. It was her day.
Sure.
It was me.
There he is. He's on the line. You got to be careful now.
It was me doing something for Frida. Because she'd been so great to me. And we predicted the end of the movie.
Well, they're hanging up then.
Hang up, Barty. We predicted at the end of the movie that somehow he would lose the gift
Bart,
to read.
Hang it up.
He'd lose the gift to read women's minds, but discovered that he had learned so much that he was able to still communicate better.
Sure.
Honey?
Yes, my sweet.
I just want to give props to your son who was on the show for approximately 2.5 seconds and cracked me up.
Honey, tell Charlie exactly how it played out when we went to see the movie of your choice, What Women Want.
Well, we had been there a while. I liked the premise, it would be a wonderful home video movie when you're washing dishes or doing other things or folding laundry.
Just tell them what happened.
But just to sit there wasting a couple hours, I knew you were bored. I knew the answer.
But is that why you said, I want to leave, or do you want to leave?
I guess the Charlie's point is, were you humoring Don?
Oh, no, I wanted to leave.
There you go.
Uh-huh. I wanted to leave, and I knew, I knew without asking that he would want to leave.
But I gave no visible signs.
Oh, no, you were very sweet. As a matter of fact, you were sweet to me all
that
day.
You were medicated, Don.
You had shopped with me, and then you went and you went to the movie that I wanted to go. I don't know what you were feeling bad about, but you were very sweet.
Now, listen, you'd been very nice to me. I'd been ill, and we had my little getaway there, and we went to see the movie, and we walked out. Honey, approximately how long into it? When did we walk out? Right after she was modeling the prom dresses?
Yeah, it was just too much. You know, and during the holidays, you got a lot to do to just sit there. It was stupid. You were like a captive watching a dumb, dumb movie. And I like Mel Gibson, and I liked the idea, but it's women don't think those stupid things. They were saying what women think anyway. I mean, who thinks when they're running and they're developing their ad campaign for Nike, oh, I'm free, I'm finally the person I want to be, I'm able to run and be on my own or have time just for me. I mean, I had been running that morning, and what I was thinking was, what I still needed to get done for Christmas, what we were going to have, be drinking New Year's. I mean, I had jobs and things on my mind, not these dopey women thoughts.
Thank you. Well, he loved it. We gave him the choice. We said of Cast Away, The Family Man, or What Women Want, which was the best movie.
I said I laughed a lot during What Women Want.
And my God. And then the scenes like the girl trying on the clothes. And, I liked seeing Mel Gibson dance. I thought that was cute. And luckily that was 10 minutes into it. Because if that had been like an hour into it, it would have been bored. But it would have made a fine premise for a sitcom. But it was just...
You hear that, Charlie?
Yes, I did, Don.
You hear that?
And you know something? This is probably going to be Mel Gibson's most commercially... successful film.
And I say that it's a testament to the stupid house brows.
More than Braveheart?
You should have seen
it. On the way. Yeah,
you think
really.
This will outer in a Lethal Weapon movie?
Yeah.
When Frida and I...
It's
on the way.
It
is not dropping. Every weekend,
it
has been staying steady.
Hey, and it's projected this weekend to still do another 14 to 16 million.
Speaks well of America, doesn't it?
Hey.
You know what? We have this discussion at my house all the time, and that's why mediocrity is so popular. I mean, mediocrity, we have it in relation to radio shows that do well, and we'll say, oh, my God, that takes no thought, and that's so predictable, but people, it's easy to listen to.
That's what Frida says to me about Jack Diamond. A lot of times I'll come home and I'll say, geez, I can't believe what just an ass wipe Jack Diamond is. And she'll say, well, people like stuff that's no good.
Yeah, simple, simple, easy to take. You know, very easy medicine to take.
All right, well, thank you, honey.
Okay, I got a lot more opinions. I'll give them another day.
All right, love you.
Okay, love you too.
See ya.
Bye,
bye.
But you know,
I like this show. This show's epic.
Family Man. Family Man is also not bad at all.
I've heard good things about Family Man.
Yeah. Very heartwarming.
And I saw a picture of Tia Leone in the tabloids that made me intrigued about her new breasts.
Yes, there's a shower scene. She has, I hear it's not her.
New ones? She has beautiful, large, round breasts.
Really?
She is not the Tia Leone from when she had her TV show. She is a new buxom Tia Leone. She is
really?
Not
what
a
did,
Tia Leone.
Did David Duchovny buy those for her?
I don't know. I wasn't in on the room at that time.
So she wouldn't need him to because she got her own money, right?
Her own.
From her series, right?
I know, but she's married with him.
Yeah, yeah. He had to approve. He probably had to sign off on the purchase.
Right.
Now he's the one that's going to squeeze him.
Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
No kidding. Okay, well, I wanted to call and tell you how awful that What a Woman Wants movie is. That is what men think What a Woman Wants. Like, women want some boorish, self-absorbed, pompous guy. Like, this is a newsflash? Is that why Charlie liked it?
Charlie?
Yes, just... ma'am. no, I... What... I laughed. I thought it was funny. That's all. Everyone has their own opinion. Why am I getting beaten up today?
All right, thank you. Thank
That's
you, honey.
Okay, ma'am. You have your opinion.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And your opinion is right, ma'am. The movie's a piece of garbage. If I was you, I'd write a letter to Mel Gibson.
And I think, though, that was part of it, that Mel Gibson was very, very boorish, as she said, and very stuck on himself. And the whole idea of the movie was for him to change.
Write him a letter and get him to send you $10 back. And, Charlie, have a great week.
All right, guys.
Enjoy your jail mail.
Thank you.
All the gifts you were sent today. Get out of here.
Bye,
well.
Bye, Charles.
Get well. And, Charlie, just let me ask, it's just a cold?
Yes, Doc.
Is it cold? We don't have to start making you a quilt?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right.
I worry about that one.
There goes Stossel. Another great day at the office.
I worry about that guy.
Poor Stossel Wood.
Charlie Stossel. Okay. All right. There he is with the movies.
I got a question for you about this Castaway, because, I mean, if I'm going to the movies now, I want to go see that other movie, the Michael Douglas movie. Is there any chance I'm going to be entertained at this, or I'm just going to, I mean, am I going to walk out just to come in? You know, I'll agree with you right now if I can go see the movie I want to see on Friday.
I would, you know what, I don't doubt, and I've not seen Traffic, so I don't know.
Right, right.
But I know you, and even though...
You think I'm going to like it better?
Even knowing the type of movies that you like as opposed to the type of movies that I like...
Right.
I would bet $100 that you come back and you think it sucks worse than I think it
sucks. I'm going to go see it. All right, I'm going to go see it.
Okay, go see Castaway.
Go see Castaway.
All right, or as Regis said when Tom Hanks was on his show, Castaways. You know,
what an idiot.
Because Regis is just such a freaking feeb, and Tom Hanks never bothered to correct him. Tom is in the movie Castaways.
Castaways. Fantastic.
We went to see Castaways. It was great.
I liked it as much as Bravehearts.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
He would have an enormous Rangstucker. Oof.
Two of Carmi's minions, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, hello, Don and Mike Show. That's us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Norm.
Norm from Green Bay?
Yeah, this is the Cheesehead.
Oh, for how you doing there?
How you guys doing down there, eh?
Oh, for Packers out of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. But I wanted to talk about that Castaway movie.
Yeah, Norm.
How about that part when old Tom is on there on the island and he's got a real bad toothache, you know?
Not the same guy, Rob?
I don't think so. Not
Yo, mama!
Yeah, good call, Rob. I agree with you. That's why I said that.
Okay.
The number you are trying to call cannot be reached by this method. If you know the number, please dial it direct.
Bastard. You bastard.
Bastard.
We'll get you.
We'll get you. Stop it, you crazy.
We'll get you, my pretty. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, how's it going, guys?
Hi. It's going great, thanks.
Hey, I called him before Charlie, and I told Lisa to call back in. Right after you guys went on vacation, Tommy Gavin called into a local morning show. I don't know if I should say the radio station or not. I guess it doesn't matter. Elliot in the morning, DC 101.
Listen, I just want to tell you something. This guy and we generally don't talk about him because he can't get any ratings. And he wants desperately to get anything going with this show. He talks about this show constantly.
Yeah.
He talks about this radio station constantly.
Absolutely.
You know, and Tom Gavin, who listened, you know, I'm going to let you in on the news bulletin right now, is not quite right in the head.
Tom calls a lot of, he calls a lot of radio stations.
You know, and this guy puts Tom Gavin on because this guy, Elliot, in the morning, sits around every afternoon and jacks off and listens to this show and wishes that he could do a show like this.
Well, the tip-off is any radio station, any radio show that ends with in the morning is usually a problem.
Yeah, and, you know, we get calls all the time where Tom Gavin calls this other disc jockey up, and I don't give a crap. What are you going to say about it?
No, it wasn't anything. He had just called. It was literally like 2 days after you guys had gone on vacation for the year, and he had called in, and he's like, you know, hey, what's going on? And first thing Elliot said was, oh, you shouldn't be calling in. You're going to get in trouble. And Tommy's like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, he's using Tommy to get to us. It's not going to work.
You know, the guy says you shouldn't call because you're going to get in trouble because the guy spends all afternoon whacking off listening to our show.
He wants Tom to get in trouble. We're not going to get Tom in trouble. No. Tom doesn't fit into that category.
I'm not trying to get Tommy in trouble either. I just didn't know if you guys had heard about it
or not.
No,
listen, I want to start
us off. I'd to hear him on another
All right,
video.
Hey, slow down. Just slow down, professional.
Just let me explain for a second. First, we don't care if Tom Gavin calls other shows. Second, the guy on 101 is mired in the backpack of morning radio shows. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy can't beat Jack Diamond in the ratings.
That is truly sad.
He wants to do anything to get himself attached to this show. And if he wants to try it with Tom Gavin, go ahead.
Yeah, buena suerte.
You know, there's been plenty of other morning shows that come on here, and everybody wants to do a slightly different version of the Don and Mike show, you know, where you get a girl to do the news instead of a guy, and you got a bunch of guys together, and they all laugh, and they have a crazy time, and everybody wants to one-up each other on how outrageous you can be.
Sure.
Listen, it ain't gonna happen. It just ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, and it hasn't happened, and there's no indication that it's going to happen.
Right, you know, and until the guy wants to start fighting some real battles with the guys he's on against in the morning,
right?
Why should we waste our time talking about him? Although he endlessly talks about us, just so what's happened right now will happen.
Yeah, he kind of got what he wanted, but he thought we'd address it one
every once in a while. You know, I mean, if he wants to take a guy on the show who calls our show who's not right, and I don't want to say abuse him, but if you want to take a guy who's not right and you want to manipulate him for your own purposes, well, then that just shows how desperate the guy is. I mean, listen, if there was some retarded guy who called his show and that retarded guy called our show,
mm-hmm.
I doubt if I'd be stringing on the retarded guy from his show hoping that somehow we'd get some listenership out of it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'd hang up on the guy.
As a longtime listener, I humbly apologize for raising his issue and causing
him to get some
play out of it, because that was not...
Well, listen, he's not going to get any play, and that's it. Listen, the guy's been in town for a year and a half, man. I see the ratings.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's getting beamed by goddamn WMZQ. You know, do me a favor, and don't... And here's another thing, radio guys in general, not that guy, but just radio guys in general, they love tossing out the demos. You know, where they say, hey, but listen, hold on, in our target audience, here at HFS, and our target audience of 18 to 24, we're number four in the market.
Right.
Well, listen, anybody can pick a niche out of the ratings book and say that they're doing well in that certain niche.
How many categories were we number one in the last ratings book?
48.
There you go. Thank you.
Number one in 48 different categories.
Very nice.
And number one overall.
Bingo.
So, you know, listen, to that guy who I've heard, and I got nothing against him. I heard he did a nice show on Z100 in New York when he played records for a living. You know, Scott Shannon told me nice stuff about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go out and get ratings on your own.
There you go.
Do your own stupid watered-down imitation of this show every day. You know, but if you want
mine... He is a little obsessed. Yeah, and I think he's a little obsessed. It's probably calculated. I mean, he seems to be a little obsessed, and I think it's, you know, this is, for some reason, that's what he thinks his ticket's going to be. It's not going to happen.
You know, he's playing a game that you and I played 15 years ago.
Yeah, but even when we played that game, we dealt with the guys that were on at the same time of the day. We really did. Yeah, I mean, that's what we deal with it.
In this town, though...
There's nobody on at the same time of day that's worthwhile.
Right. Our show is the only show in town that everybody listens to and everybody talks about.
Exactly.
So the guy's just trying, you know, listen,
You want a commercial for your show, for your morning show? Call our sales department. They get about $3,500 a spot.
Be fantastic.
I'll sell you a spot for your show.
Probably do you some good.
And as a matter of fact, you want Tom Gavin? You can have him.
Yeah, keep him.
Right, please.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I already gave him his alpha bird.
Hello.
Thanks, Happy.
Don and Mike.
Hi, guys. I'm calling from New York.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I know you guys are big fans of Mad Magazine. I was wondering, did you guys see the 20 Dumbest Things of 2000?
I do have the issue. It's a glossy issue. Mm. Haven't read it yet.
Does that taint the issue for you when Mad Magazine comes in that glossy format?
No. It's a special issue, Mike.
Ah, I understand.
Special issue.
Glossy pages is only like 14.
I figured it was special when it was all glossy.
All glossy. It's on high tech. Like, the pages are like Entertainment Weekly variety of pages.
That's quality.
Fancy. Yeah. You know, all shiny and stuff.
All shiny and pretty.
Hey, listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you. I get Mad Magazine. Buzz has been giving me a subscription for the last 5 years for Christmas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's a battle every month in my house between Bart and me.
What is your favorite Mad Magazine feature? You've probably said this, but I don't remember.
Spy versus spy.
Yeah. Spy versus spy.
Even since the spy versus spy guy died, and they got another guy doing spy versus spy.
Still good.
I also like The World According to Dave Berg.
Yes.
However, here's my complaint with that, is that as the years have gone on, I don't know if he's getting older, he's running out of ideas, but the cartoons get bigger.
Right.
Meaning that if it used to be like the lighter side of marriage, the lighter side of carpooling,
right,
he would be able to fit 4 or 5 or 6 little vignettes on a page.
Right.
Now he gets 3 on a page just because he's drawing them all bigger.
He's probably not even drawing them anymore.
Oh, no, I believe he still draws.
You think he's still doing? I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, they have big staffs and doing, and staph infections.
I think all my mad fanatics out there would agree with me. That's my first stop is the lighter side, and my second stop is Spy versus Spy.
Spy versus Spy with their pointy little faces.
And when it comes to a parody of television or movies, if it's drawn by Mort Drucker, it kicks ass.
How do you weigh in on the fold-in?
I am a fan of the fold-in.
That's the first thing I would go to immediately.
No, but you don't do it until you read the whole magazine, because otherwise it ruins the sanctity of the magazine.
I don't know, because you can flatten it out pretty good afterwards, but it's so great, it's the fold-in.
No, but the fold-in is like...
A treat, a dessert?
The dessert, yes, thank you, but the fold-in is the dessert of Mad Magazine.
Touché.
After you've read everything, and after you've read it twice to make sure you've read all the little funny stuff, then you do the fold-in. Then you manipulate the back cover.
And you match it up.
Yeah.
So it'll be a wacky picture instead of the previous picture.
Oh, he's always a wacky gag.
Always a wacky gag. I like Mad, too.
Always is.
Yeah, very good.
Love Mad Magazine. Well, what about it?
Well, I was just wondering, because there's some stuff on the list that I thought you guys would find funny. I was just wondering, should I tell you the list?
No, because I haven't read it yet.
All right.
And I'm sorry. That's just what a prick I am about Mad.
All right, but I'm sure you'll find it funny.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Isn't there some internet surfing to do? You just sounded like it, you know. It's like,
okay. Hello.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I on the air now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. My name is Obi. I'm Obi the cab driver.
Hey, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. No, I'm not Obi-Wan Kenobi, but you know, everybody calls me Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi the cab driver.
That's right, Obi the cab driver.
Yes, Obi.
Yeah, you know what, Don and Mike?
What?
I'm wondering if you can do the same thing you did for Hannah Storm, if you can do this for Pam Oliver, I'm sorry.
Pam Oliver from Fox?
Do you have the hearts for Pam Oliver?
I don't have the heart for her, but I just think that she's a beautiful woman. How come she doesn't have enough votes? And I know with the power of your show, she can get enough votes.
Well, I'll tell you this. I do think that it's unfair on Playboy.com with the sexiest sportscaster that they only have one sister on there.
That's right.
It's like 9 white chicks, and some of the white chicks are not real pretty. And Pam Oliver.
Yeah, where's Robin Roberts?
Yeah, well, Pam Oliver, you watch on
Hey, you, hold up, do your Robin Roberts.
Oh.
Come on.
Prime time.
You do a Robin Roberts.
Yes, sirree. Here's the latest in basketball. Yeah. Vote for me.
Donna Mike.
Yes, Obi.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, Obi.
Can I say something? Yeah. A lot of my customers listening to your show every day.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Obi.
You know, every day. A lot of them. My customer, I have a customer in my car, and he never heard of Don and Mike before. On TV. He said, who is Don and Mike? They're the radio god.
You should say, though, you should call yourself Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi. People call me that.
There you go.
Baby. All right, Obi.
I believe in one.
I will listen. Everybody, please, when you're done voting for Hannah Storm, vote for
Pam Oliver.
Pam Oliver.
Pam Oliver, yeah.
And Obi, finally, love your tampons. That came from Rob Spiewak.
Obi tampon.
Remember those? Obi tampon. Can I just do one more thing?
Yes, Obi.
Can I let people know my company?
Can you what?
Your cab company?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Give a plug.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's called DC Limousine Cab Service.
What was that again? Hey, Obi, if you're going to get a plug, you might want to work on the pronunciation a little bit. All right, was it DC Limousine and Cab Service?
Cab Services, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Gave a plug that nobody understood.
All right. Listener and all my customers listening to you guys and everything. I got a customer here, but I don't know if he wants to talk to you. You want to see if my customer want to talk?
Sure, put him on, Obi. Let's talk to the customer. Yes, put him on.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Take the duct tape off his mouth.
Let me ask you about the door locks.
Okay. Hey, Don and Mike, hold on. He wants to talk. Yes. Hold on a minute.
That's who he's locked in the back of this cab.
Yes, people don't realize Obi is the bone collector.
Oh.
Hey. Remember that movie?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Are you in that cab of your own free will?
Yes.
Is Obi doing a good job as your cab driver?
He's been holding for a long time, and he's been wanting to get on the show, so he's pretty adamant.
Welcome to D.C. Are you from the D.C. area?
No, I'm on business. I'm originally from Western New York, but currently live in Louisville, Kentucky.
Ah, Louisville, the bluegrass state. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, listen, I want you to ask Obi tonight. Do you have dinner plans?
No, I actually take him to the airport right now to go home.
Oh, you don't have any time before your flight?
Not really.
Well, the next time you're here, have Obi take you down by the Anacostia.
Anacostia.
That is the most beautiful part of D.C.
Oh, I've got to remember that next time.
Anacostia. As a matter of fact, anything off 295 is beautiful.
And do you like kind of medieval things, like medieval-themed restaurants?
Haven't had much exposure to it. But
with really great food, like great steaks.
That sounds good to me.
You might want to go to a restaurant. Next time your wife's in town, go to a restaurant called the Camelot.
Those would be our two recommend. Hold on, and Rob's got a third.
Yeah, and also, if you're looking for some nice company, if you're not with your wife, go to a nice place with a lot of good friends called Good Guys.
Good guys, okay.
So that would be the recommendation. Mm-hmm. First off, you really want to see the finest Washington has to offer.
Sure.
Anacostia, right off 295. And then it's Camelot.
Camelot for that medieval steak. They give you a big, thick steak.
Yeah. And then,
rare.
Oh, if you're just looking for a good time,
yeah.
You know, sports bar type atmosphere.
Right.
Good guys.
Well, sounds good.
And also Chaos is another nice club to go to. And if you want to go to a nightclub.
You love that.
A lot of beautiful women.
Huh? Big women.
Big, beautiful
big women.
Women,
huh?
All right, let me talk to Obi, please.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
He's going to enjoy that $2.95 quarter.
Hey, Obi. Obi, listen.
I'm here.
All right, listen, here's where you're taking him. First, you're taking him down to Anacostia.
No, I'm taking him to BWI.
No. First, you're taking him to Anacostia. Then you're going to take him down to the Camelot.
Right.
Send me to Anacostia. Anacostia is dangerous. Are you talking about Anacostia in D.C.?
Oh, he blew it. Our secret's out of the bag.
And then you're going to take him to Good Guys after you take him to Camelot.
And then take him to Club...
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. And then Good Guys in Georgetown.
And Club Chaos.
Okay, I mean, he wants to catch a flight pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right, Obi. Okay.
All right.
I know all this.
Thank you, Obi.
I'm just playing with
all right.
You. Okay. You know, Don and Mike, it was nice talking to these guys. You guys are great.
All right.
Bye, Obi.
I keep it up. Okay?
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Bye. See you, Obi.
All righty. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You made him very happy.
Well, Anacostia is the best part of Washington. No S. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call.
Hi, I'm going for the international show.
The international show. Welcome to it.
Yes.
Is this Mike?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Baz.
Hey. Hi.
Banana Dan.
What?
I was wondering if you've seen Family Man, because it looks like you didn't like it or something.
Don, let me translate.
Yes.
It looks like you did not like Family Man.
Did you?
I did not see Family Man.
Hello, friend. He did not see a Family Man.
The movie.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's good. How is your English?
My English is good.
No, it's not.
Where are you from originally? What is your country of origin?
Well, then you take a guess.
No, we don't like to guess.
No, come on, just tell us.
I'm Russian. I'm like,
Oh, Russian. Do svidaniya.
Russians.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I think Family Man was a good movie, though.
All right. Thank you. From the Russian point of view.
Can I tell you more about it?
No.
Nah, because we know you have so many great movies in Soviet Union.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
Okay.
До свидания.
Bye-bye. I forgot to mention, Russians are never welcome on this show.
That's right.
I never forget. Bye-bye.
Still the enemy.
Go check out 13 Weeks.
Right.
Great movie. Your people are well represented in that movie. Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, he's still there. Okay.
And after you see that, something lighthearted. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Another friend of me.
How do you say hang up in Russian?
Hang up, silly phone, boy chick.
Hey, hang ski up ski.
Up ski up ski.
Place phone in cradle.
Hello?
You hablas español?
Put the phone down. Hang up,
hang
please.
Up now. Oh, Christ.
Pay that man his money.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Goodbye.
That's Russian.
I know. It's time for news and comment now. He's not going to hang up. We're just going to move on with Buzz. Buzz?
Yes.
What is the lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Well, here in Washington, of course, the big story is that the Redskins have a new old coach. And for everybody, money got cheaper today.
Really?
Yeah.
How you feel about that, Russian dude?
He hang up. During Buzz's tease.
He finally hang up.
Yes, because he understands we will get to the news whenever the app be pleased.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Yes, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Oh, I know, Buzz. I'm sorry. I forgot.
In a world where only radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Right. He loves his tape. We'll have the news after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Well, man. Ladies, step into their studio and talk to St. Peter. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. News time now. Here's Guy Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. The sickly stock market bounced back some today, with the Dow closing up by 300. NASDAQ was up by 325. Investors are clearly happy with the highly unusual move by the Fed today. Between sessions, and that never happens, the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates sooner and more than expected. Down a half point. Now, for NASDAQ, today was the biggest gain ever for a single day. And President-elect George W. Bush praised the Fed for lowering interest rates, but he said the economy needs more than that, and he's pushing for a tax cut. He met with business leaders today who backed that idea. Here in Fairfax, Virginia, police have arrested a teenager for pretending to be a doctor. They say the 17-year-old...
Was it Mike the TV boy?
It could have been. He authorized prescriptions and okayed minor medical procedures at a local hospital.
Oh, this story was all over the news before Christmas that this kid had a doctor's pager.
Right.
And he was calling in not only a medication to the hospital, he was calling in procedures to be done for patients.
Right.
Yeah, this doctor never, and this kid never saw anybody. It was all done over the phone.
Right. Yeah, instructions he gave to nurses. The hospital, and today, now, the news today is that he's facing charges. Charges have been filed.
His name is Ferris. Ferris Bueller.
Hello there. This is Norm Peterson. Give the patient a full enema and then remove his appendix. Thanks a lot, Rooney.
The boy now faces four counts of practicing medicine without a license, three counts of prescription fraud. The hospital says he gave a dozen orders for six patients
and that only one of his orders, the last one, raised any suspicions. In other words,
I think that decision hired the kid.
He made an acceptable medical decision 11 out of 12 times. Can your doctor say the same?
Hey, Buzz, yes. Listen, no offense. All right, you should hire the kid to do your next surgery.
Make it part of the permanent staff. Disneyland officials say they're still...
Boo! Boo!
Yes, you'll boo.
Boo!
You'll boo.
Boo.
Disneyland officials say they're still praying for the recovery of Brandon Zucker, but they say they had nothing to do with his injuries.
Right. Oh, is this another guy who got killed on a ride or something?
Well, this was a kid who was injured, and this was some time back. We talked about it back when it happened.
The teacup ride?
No, one of the newer, more modern rides, as a matter of fact. And this is in California,
all right.
Not Florida.
Okay, my kids went on the teacup.
I know they did, and they survived.
Yeah, they did all right.
Pleased to report.
Uh-huh.
A report from California officials yesterday said that maybe Disney did have something to do with this accident. It said that from appearances, the boy was not completely latched into the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin ride.
Wow.
And the report...
Security to Eisner, security to Eisner.
Now what is it? I was up here, come on, I was polishing my brand new antelope boots.
The kid on the Roger Rabbit ride has not died yet,
He's
sir.
He's not dead?
No. He is not dead yet, but we had a question. Should we contact his family to get $21 cover charge?
Of course you should, absolutely. Send him over to Pleasure Island. Tell him to go take in the improv show. It's fantastic. We've hired cheap, out-of-work teachers. And they're going over there pretending it's a comedy show.
Mr. Eisner, how do we handle it if the child dies? Over.
You know how you handle it. Bury him behind the animal kingdom.
As always, do you want us to take out the vital organs, sir? Over.
Absolutely, and ship them to China.
We're getting our best prices over there.
The report says Disneyland needs to make some changes before reopening this ride.
Make some changes. We'll make some changes when we get that $21 back.
The boy's parents are suing for unspecified damages, accusing Disney officials of negligence.
Settle early.
With the usual settlement offer, that would be the Pocahontas Dome.
Pocahontas Dome.
The half-day pass to Disney World on a rainy day.
Yeah. All right, then. Throw in a mug. Throw in a Mickey mug.
Mr. Eisner, the legal department advises you not to go that far.
All right, take it back. Standard offer. Fantastic. I hope they enjoy the park. And the $21 pass to Pleasure Island. Get me that money.
A cop in Suffolk County, New York, is under investigation for allegedly forcing an attractive woman to strip. 27-year-old Angelina Torres says the officer told her he'd stopped her for suspicion of drunk driving.
Suspicion of stripping.
She says he made her walk home mostly nude.
This little girl had knockers.
To teach her a lesson. Cold as it was New Year's Eve, she walked home wearing only panties and high-heeled shoes.
She was a whore.
She says the officer followed her the whole way.
New Year's Eve in New York?
Quoting her, just outside New York City.
Wow!
If he thought I was drunk, he should have arrested me, but she says she wasn't drunk, that she just had a few sips of champagne and
that's the same thing they did to Dennis Murphy when he was pulled over for DWI.
Yeah, he basically walked home in just panties and high heels.
Just the heels.
Semi-nude.
Torres is now suing Suffolk County for $15 million.
But he wasn't driving. That's the good news. He made it home safely.
The guy who tried to handcuff New York Archbishop Edward Egan says he believes the real Jesus is a 30-year-old green-eyed woman from Manhattan named Hypatia. He says she's a graduate of Columbia University's business school.
Hypatia.
Isn't Hypatia a porn star's name?
Hypatia Lee. With a T, yeah. He spells it differently. That makes a difference. Timothy Byrne wound up being restrained by his own handcuffs when he tried to arrest the archbishop during communion on Monday. A 38-year-old man from Hoboken suffers from manic depressive disorder, according to his family.
Yeah.
Byrne's filed rambling lawsuits against the Vatican in the past. He says all Catholic services are...
Stay cool.
Here's his lawyer.
He says all Catholic services are a waste of time. Quoting him, just videotape the service and stay home. It's cheaper and you can drink beer and smoke. Byrne says he tried to cuff the archbishop for publicity.
Be a great DJ name, incidentally. Hey, it's Archbishop with you? Archbishop, get together for a good-looking Wednesday. God damn, I'm here to rock and roll tonight. Doing blocks of rock. Buzz, hold on.
Okay.
We've got to do this. We will be right back.
All right, Archie.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Daddy Fred Flintstone sings you music to twitch by. Like it? Fatty Fred Flintstone?
It'll be stuff like this.
The guaranteed cure for unknown cystitis. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, once again, here's Buzz Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. As you know, every week I pay out $1.06 for the best news tip of the week, and this week the money goes to reporter Joseph Ardinger for spotting this item in this morning's Washington Post obituary section. I glazed right over this.
Yes.
Johnny Hathcock, music writer, has died at the age of 81. We don't know the cause of death.
Johnny Hathcock?
Hathcock. With a T-H, not with an L-F.
Hathcock.
Yeah.
Hathcock. Johnny Hathcock. Hathcock
will travel.
He's the guy who wrote Welcome to My World.
Oh.
Welcome to my world.
I always thought that song was written by a Hathcock.
I really did.
Want you to come on in.
Hey, I'd like to salute all the Hathcocks out there.
Very cool.
And Buzz,
yes?
You consider yourself a newsman. You've let down the half tops.
No. How can I make it up with them?
Send them Joe Ardinger.
Step into my heart.
Hathcock passed away on December 26th in Amarillo, Texas.
Leave your cares behind.
All the Hathcocks aside one at a time and apologize.
Welcome to our world.
Songwriter, let me also congratulate the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Here we go again.
They won the bowl game.
Yeah.
And don't they cheerleaders seriously say go cock?
Go cock. Yes,
right, the fighting cock.
Mm-hmm. You don't want them to go off half cock.
Absolutely.
You sure don't. And when you're in an airplane, always check with the pilot up in the cockpit.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Welcome to
New England. New England.
You're cock sure.
Always cock sure. Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Broyhill? I'm just speaking out of school here. I've heard he's a...
There's some fingers going for the buttons now. Mr. Hathcock wrote more than 400 songs, including Welcome to My World. It was the theme song, actually, for country singer Eddie Arnold, but over 60 other artists recorded it, including Dean Martin,
just let me
Andy
say,
Williams, and Elvis Presley.
One thing about Hathcock,
yeah?
He was a real dick.
Oh, dear. I didn't know that.
He's a real dickhead. Mr. Hathcock.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I found it impossible to pass up this headline. Blind man gets weapons permit. In Fargo, North Dakota, Kerry McWilliams has gotten a permit to carry a concealed weapon even though he is blind.
Did you say his name is McWilliams?
I did. It is.
Oh, dear.
The 27-year-old college graduate says he has the gun and he's not afraid to use it.
Hey, Don, baby. How's it going?
Let me tell you something there, Don. I can't see a thing in front of me, but I'll blow your head off. I swear to God. I'll blow it away. What he doesn't realize is I gave him the permit and a banana.
Sheriff's deputy. He completed the background check, so the county and the city were comfortable with him getting the permit. McWilliams cannot see any detail, only light and dark. But
I see your head. I see the outline of your head. Your big head is going to be spaghetti and meatballs in a second.
That's what he sees, outlines. He met the requirement.
Oh, how do you like that?
Met the requirement of firing 10 out of 10 bullets into a silhouette target.
Can he move his neck?
He has that advantage.
Sorry about that.
He got the 10 out of 10 after they put him into position and gave him a second chance. Quoting the deputy again, I don't see a problem with him doing it. I told him to be real cautious.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Whoopee.
So, what are you gonna watch on Thursday nights in February? New episodes of Friends or Survivor 2, The Australian Outback? They'll be on against each other.
Probably.
Yes.
Survivor.
Me too.
I think a lot of people. CBS is betting that you'll abandon your friends for Survivor.
Uh-huh.
As it stages the first real challenge to NBC's must-see TV since the early 1980s, rather. For about 15 years, the Peacock has trounced its competition with the likes of Cosby, Night Court, Family Ties, Cheers, Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, Mad About You, Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends, and ER.
I just wish they could bring Richard Hatch back.
But ABC's already beating Will and Grace with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, so CBS figures the time's right to go after another chunk of NBC's Thursday night lineup.
Big Dick Hatch.
If CBS fails, it could mean the end of its most valuable show, Survivor.
Hold on there, Buzz. We got to do this. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I have to yell!
This all seems a little elaborate for Sloppy Joe's. I know what the other 11 forks are for, but what do you do with this one?
Why, Marge, I believe you're supposed to scratch your ass with it.
Oh, my watch, that's a lifesaver.
There's an element of meanness in them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. And will you be watching the new reality show, Temptation Island?
Oh, I will.
I would rather wait to comment on this until tomorrow.
Okay. That will do.
Why?
Because it's one of the things that I wrote down to talk about today, and we didn't get to it today.
Okay.
I want to waste it now in the news, and we got to rush to get all the commercials in.
All right.
I'm just excited about it.
Find me some real news.
Well, how about something about Hugh Hefner?
That's always good.
Playboy. That's always excellent.
I mean, not that Temptation Island isn't real news. It is.
It would be real news real if news. It were stocked with Playboy bunnies. Then you'd have a real winner on your hands.
How's your grotto?
The grotto is fantastic. I'm bringing the twins down and taking a little blue pill. Well,
you're not dating the twins anymore.
I'm not dating the twins. No. Well, why don't you update me on who I'm dating?
That I will. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner is a new man ever since he started using Viagra, and now...
I love the blue pills.
Now, he's reportedly dating 7 women at once, one for every day of the week at the age of 75.
Wow.
Wednesday. Wednesday, this is Friday, Saturday. Why don't you come over sometime? We'll have everybody over on Sunday, all the days of the week.
The grotto.
I'll have 7 blue pills to take, 1 an hour.
The New York Post says Hef's black book no longer includes the twins he was dating. It says he introduced his 2 newest girlfriends at his black tie New Year's Eve party.
Here they are. Aren't they beautiful? Look at their breasts.
They showed up wearing nothing but body paint.
Aren't they lovely?
I got a story here about the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
The grotto.
After several tame years of like Sodom and Gomorrah again, stars are lined up to get in.
Yep.
Spotted recently, Jim Carrey, David Spade, Jack Nicholson, John Lovitz, George Clooney, Elizabeth Hurley, Ben Affleck, Dennis Quaid, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Cameron Diaz.
It's the hot place to go, but then again, Dick Van Patten is always known. Fantastic. And you know something, Don?
What?
I think you and your partner, Mike, ought to get to the grotto one of these nights.
Jeff, we'd love to be invited out.
We've wanted to go to the mansion. How do we do it? Should be our quest for 2001.
Wanted for 15 years.
Amen.
We wanted to go to the mansion.
I believe Mr. Kevin James will be our ticket into the mansion, and I believe we ought to start that. It's almost more important than another TV appearance.
We'll start it tomorrow. He's coming on tomorrow to talk about his People's Choice Award.
That's an exquisite idea, Don. I think I'll take a blue pill to celebrate. Thank you, Buzz.
Special alert for fans of Drew Barrymore. Her next movie will be about the life of a sex columnist, and gossip reporter Cindy Adams says the movie will include a lot of naked Drew. The sex columnist wrote a book in which she talked about her visits to nudist colonies, massage parlors, and a swingers convention. The author also road-tested sex toys and aphrodisiacs as well as male escort services. That's the role Drew will play.
Yeah.
The world's tallest woman is asking for help from Michael Jackson.
Really, is it Rita from his health staff?
No, taller. 45-year-old Sandy Allen.
Woman taller than Rita?
Yes. 45-year-old Sandy Allen, listed in the Guinness book as being 7'7¼".
Hi!
Is now,
hi!
She's now...
Is it Robin Robinson?
Hi! Mm-hmm. I see you down there, Don.
Well, Sandy is now bedridden and broke. She wants Michael to help pay for her physical therapy and other essentials.
I can't get out of the bed.
Sandy says she met Jackson at the Guinness Museum sometime back.
Rub my feet, please.
They're so big, Sandy.
I know. Rub them, please.
Oh, the smell.
Mm-hmm. Her spokesman says Sandy doesn't want pity and that she only took her story to the National Enquirer as
Don't
a last resort.
Me. Just rub my feet.
By the way...
Between the toes.
The Sci-Fi Channel is working on a show for next year in which a reporter goes to work for a tabloid only to find out that some of the outrageous stories it publishes are true.
Outrageous, if you please.
That's the re...
Adolf Hitler fantasized about being an American cowboy. According to a
hold
new
on. Seat, Rob. Here you go. News directed.
Put your feet up.
Hi. Hi. Could you bring my horse around? After we round out the back 40, I'm going to have an experiment with some twins.
Dum dee 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 dum dee 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 dum dee.
Hi.
The book says the Fuhrer would act out his fantasies during walks in the country. It says he carried a loaded pistol with him and crouched behind trees to shoot at imaginary Indian warriors.
Get along, little doggy.
The author says he got this information from Hitler's bodyguards, who also say he read everything he could about the Wild Wild West.
Oh, my God.
To this day, people still visit a museum honoring Hitler's favorite Western novelist. Hitler opened the Carl May Museum in 1928, and it's still open today.
Yippee-yay-yay-yay.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, it's the Cowboy Hitler. I'm thinking about writing Side Saddle.
Please, Eva, call me Hopalong.
Hopalong
Hitler.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Little college back east is fighting to protect its good name. Harvard University is going after everyone who uses that name on anything. Last week, it filed suit against a medical device company called Harvard Bioscience. The company was started by a Harvard grad, but it uses the school's colors on its website.
Harvard.
Unfortunately for the school, this company's been using the name without a challenge for the past 100 years. Harvard, in fact, is suing a couple of dozen parties for using the name, including one called NotHarvard.com. No word on whether the school plans to go after the people who grow the beets. And things have really turned around for Baltimore in the past year. The Ravens are doing extremely well. The murder rate is down. And
Morty Bass is looking as good as ever.
Yes, and Baltimore is no longer the syphilis capital of the U.S. But now someone has burglarized a police facility in Baltimore. Probably an inside job. On Christmas Eve, somebody broke into an internal affairs office and destroyed computers and stole file folders. And it came just as the department was closing in on some crooked cops. The crime report lists the victim of the burglary as the Baltimore Police Department.
Hello there, Humber. They didn't have syphilis.
How you doing? Although, isn't Baltimore now number one? It's not syphilis.
Chlamydia.
Gonorrhea. One of the Rias.
They're still number one in some category.
They're still way up there.
Perlman.
All right, Buzz, thank you for the news and the comments. Oh, Rhea Perlman. Buzz, thank you for the news and the comments. Time now for a call 100 and a prize package selected especially for you. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
Broadcasting under the protective umbrella of the PCAA, the Don and Mike Show.
There for your protection. And now here is Guy Elston. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, here it is. The Washington Redskins have hired former Cleveland and Kansas City coach Marty Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer?
He'll be head coach and director of football operations.
Great.
It's a 4-year deal worth $10 million.
Great choice. Well, was Rich Kotite not available?
Apparently not.
Was Bill Coslet not available?
I guess.
Sam White's not available.
Made a list, didn't you?
Pete Carroll not available. Ted Marchabrona not available. What, did Jerry Glanville turn you down? Bill Arnsparger out there? Jesus.
Lately, Marty's been an analyst for ESPN. As a coach, he ranked 11th in career victories, 145 wins, 85 losses, and a tie.
Right. Good luck. Just remember my advice earlier. Yeah. Get a straw, hook it up to Snyder's ass.
Yeah. Right.
Start felching.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Ta-da!
The Redskins, thank you. Hall of Famer Art Shell has re-signed as the offensive line coach of the Atlanta Falcons, or resigned, rather, not re-signed. He quit. He says he's leaving for other football opportunities. He was once head coach for the Oakland Raiders.
Now, he would have been a good coach for the Redskins.
Art Shell would have been the best choice, I think. He was Kansas City's offensive line coach for 2 years under Marty Schottenheimer. And third-ranked Florida State meets top-ranked Oklahoma tonight in the Orange Bowl in Miami. The Orange Bowl, by the way, isn't played in the Orange Bowl and hasn't been since 1996. It's played at the Dolphins Pro Player Stadium. But Orange Bowl stadium officials say they still get fans showing up on game night asking why the parking lot is empty.
Get to know Charlie.
Why is the parking lot empty? Joe?
I'm sorry, Charlie. I screwed up again.
And finally,
Charlie had the mind of a child.
I did.
Yes, he did.
Do.
Finally, Judges in Canada are not buying the story Brendan Schmidt is telling. He says a woman who wanted sex from him bit his penis, injuring him badly.
Oh.
The woman, identified only as CG in court, says...
Oh, the woman.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I had a fellow's initials for CG.
I see.
Cameron Gray.
The woman says... The woman says she bit Brendan in self-defense.
Hey, no, I got it.
What?
It's Crystal Gale.
Wow. Famous.
Right, CG.
The woman says she bit him when he pushed her head into his lap and tried to force her into a sex act. An appeals court believes her, not him, so he's been convicted of assault, not her. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Cindy Garvey.
My Venus. On the Don and Mike Show.
No. We gotta go.
No.
We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode C. Ye then. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
How's it going?
Going okay, my friend.
I'm calling 100.
There you barely, you limped through that. Way to go. What's your name?
Frank.
Where are you calling from?
St. Leonard, Maryland.
You are the 100th caller. You have won the Outer Limits prize pack. Outer Limits back.
Thank you.
The Outer Limits is back. Excuse me. Sit back and experience the unbelievable Sunday night at 1 a.m. Great time slot on Fox. The Outer Limits, but wait, there's more. You've won 25 Durex condoms.
Outer Limits. Back.
You'll love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made. Durex condoms. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Hold the line, please.
Sure.
Thanks. We appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. We'll be joined by TV's Kevin James.
All right.
Plus all the other stuff that we didn't get to on today's episode. Thank you for all the great calls today. We had a lot of fun. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Donnie.
Please throw your Santa Claus out of the air. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You mind make it out.
Nice touch. That was good touch.
So long, everybody.
Meow. See you tomorrow.
Do we meet again? Simon Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.